take care of our agenda, Mr. Manager.
Under consent, item number 2, which is resolution 13-013 regarding replacement generators. We'd like to pull that completely from the agenda this evening. We plan on bringing it back for the 19th.
It's resolution 213.
No. It's resolution serial number 13.013. It's letter B under consent, under resolutions.
Top of page 7.
We are not prepared for that this evening.
While we're on the consent agenda, has anybody got intentions on the consent agenda they want to advertise right now? Assemblymember Keogh?
Yeah, I pull item D from the consent agenda, resolution serial number 13-015.
Okay, anything else? Assemblymember Arvin, are you breathing heavily or trying to speak?
Yeah, I'm trying to speak in.
You're a little overmodulated.
Is that better?
Much better.
Okay. Hey, ask the clerk a question while pulling an item from the consent agenda. Is that an action that can be objected?
Madam Clerk? Again?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Arvin, no, that cannot. It takes one person to pull an item from the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Woods.
Resolution F 13-017.
Okay, resolution 13-017. Okay, anything else on the agenda?
Yes.
Assembly Member Colbert.
Oh, I would recommend to the members that we move the multifamily. That's going to take some time because we just got another staff report. We got one last night. Move it to the bottom of the public hearings so all the folks that have showed up tonight for other issues don't have to sit through that whole could-be lengthy debate and staff report. Defer to the member from Big Lake Connect how he feels about that.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I'm not sure I agree with the premise. I'm not sure I object to the motion. I don't think it should take that long, but I see that there are others here that will. My motion would be quick, but I put it to the body at large.
Well, there's no motion. It sounds like there's no terrible heartburn either, so we'll leave it where it is.
I would move to move it to the bottom of the calendar then.
Okay, there is a motion. Is there objection? No objection. So, public.
Where did it move to then?
It'll move to the bottom of public hearings. Madam Clerk, what number is that? It's the first one.
Yes, it's the first one, ordinance serial number 12-169, so it would be to the bottom of the public hearings, Mr. Mayor.
That's quite a demotion. Okay, that might give us time to get through the staff reports, too. Anything else on the agenda? Here, is there objection then to the agenda? Hearing none. We have the orders of the day, and we will rise, and I'm going to ask our landscaper, Danny Shooter, to lead us in the pledge. Is Danny Shooter still here?
Yeah.
Go ahead and lead us in the pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, Danny, I hit you out of the blue on that. So, there are no minutes, and so we move to the cities. I see Wasilla here. Good.
Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members. I have two things to bring up tonight. First, on your left on your consent agenda is resolution number 13-016, which is approving and supporting us in our capital projects for the City of Wasilla this year, which is six items that we will be in Juneau next week, beating the pavement down there, trying to get support for. The first one is sewer treatment, plan upgrades, Wasilla Airport expansion, the new Wasilla Library, road paving, emergency preparedness, and youth court funding. While these are all six City of Wasilla items, they all affect either directly or indirectly every borough residence there is. So we want to thank you for that support. And finally, last night was the first, I'm sure, of many meetings to come on a proposal from Eielson Air Force Base to relocate the 21 F-16s from Eielson down to the Anchorage, and I would consider the Mat-Su area. All three Tri-City mayors were there, as well as Mr. Moosey was there representing the borough. And I think that was well received by the military, that if it did happen, that all the cities and the borough would work together to make that transition as smooth as possible. So that was a good showing. And I want to thank everybody for participating. And that, without any questions, sir, that's it.
Thank you. Palmer's here.
Hi there. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. I have a couple items to share.
Please state your name for the record.
Delana Johnson, Mayor for City of Palmer.
Thank you.
I came tonight to speak to you. Well, I answer any questions if anyone has anything about the City of Palmer. We had our joint meeting. I think we've been in close contact with the borough. But I wanted to speak specifically to ordinance number 13-021, just because as the mayor for the city, I sat on the school site selection committee, and the site that you see before is just a very rough, quick drawing, was the highest scoring school site. And so I would encourage you tonight, as you consider this, to amend the ordinance to include consideration of both sites, both of the two top scoring sites, just because I know I have things to do other than go to committee meetings, and being part of that process, I'd like to see our work carried forward. City of Palmer is willing to work with the borough in consideration of the site, and I encourage you to look closely at it as you go forward. And I'm sure you will. City of Palmer is doing well. We're considering a number of things, but I will leave you with the school site, as I think that's the most pertinent thing that I have to bring forward tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And while Madam Mayor, while you're there, did I see we have a mayor's meeting again tomorrow?
No, surely
no?
Not. I don't think so.
Okay, well, I thought it was in your office. But
maybe it is, but if it is, I'll have to double check and let you know.
Okay, well, it struck me a little odd. Thank
no,
you.
The 22nd.
Okay, thank you. I got a week ahead. Is Houston here? I don't see Houston. We do have one of those rare occasions when Community Council wishes to address us, so we'll have Fairview Community Council.
Gentlemen, there was lady. Oh, there, lady. Berkeley Tilton, Board President for the Kinnick Fairview Community Council. I'm here for a brief subject. As you guys are aware, Fairview Loop has gotten considerable funding over the last couple of 3 years out of the legislature for reconstruction. The biggest challenge is the East End has not gotten one penny. In fact, the money runs out at the intersection of Linlow Lane with on the East End with Fairview Loop, right at the 90-degree corner, depending on which way you're coming, just before the railroad tracks. There has been much talk of trying to also get the what's called the western end of Nelson out to Fairview Loop to help with the process of traffic and everything. Over the, and this started many years ago, a gentleman who is also here, Mr. William Tucker, he's an engineer, has made a proposal to be able to redress Fairview Loop on the east end. And we're here to ask for two things. One, we'd like to have the long-range master plan changed to include this as a as part of the long-range master plan. And we'd like to ask for a resolution from this assembly to the current legislature to be able to look at funding this with whatever money they can steal from whichever company that they're working on at that point. Madam Clerk, or through the Mayor, Madam Clerk, I do have some maps I'd like to pass out there so that at least the assembly can see what we're looking at. At the same time, I've also got a petition here, that we have over 150 signatures on of people in that East End area from subdivisions and people that use that road. The biggest thing we're addressing here is getting rid of that intersection with Old Matt, the railroad tracks, and Fairview Loop. Now, as part of disclosure, I will tell you that I got involved with this because I do happen to have a property right at that intersection. The proposal doesn't benefit me one end. I lose three-quarters of my parking lot. I lose my septic system for a nineplex that's sitting there, but I still think it's good engineering. I'd like to have Mr. Tucker do a little more explaining about maybe the history of this proposal, and the engineers went on here, and I'll give a copy of this to the clerk.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Bill Tucker, and this is kind of what we got, and I'm not real sure what the simple way to do this is. The problems down there are twofold. You have significant development in the ranch, which theoretically wasn't going to funnel traffic through Garden Terrace, but it is. And at the ranch, this is the as far as the Nelson Loop goes. Nelson Loop will be completed at the east end, and as a practical matter, of course, should be completed at both ends, or it isn't a loop. This is what we had proposed when we were asked by the borough staff to find a way to get to the school. It's about five-eighths of a mile, and it has a bridge here which would cross both the Fairview Loop and the railroad tracks. So it doesn't intersect Fairview Loop at all here. This bridge, by the way, is roughly the equivalent of what you just put over Willow Creek, I believe. The other major problem here, of course, is the craziness at the Old Matt. Hopefully all of you are personally familiar with that without too much damage. Well, I understand that Berkeley just had occasion to pull a school bus out of the ditch right here. You know, it's a 20-25 foot grade drop in a 200-250 feet. It's just a problem waiting to happen. This and the 45-degree angle railroad crossing is not great either. So the theory here is you start down here at the bottom of the hill, and you'd have to trend westward so that you could keep the existing Fairview Loop open during construction, since it is the only way in. But by trending westward and staying just off the edge of it, you can come up here, climb to a railroad crossing bridge at this point, and at that stage of the game, you're up at the same elevation as the Old Matt at the top of the hill. Okay. This would then, of course, carry on. It would, these two guys, we projected this coming together in a roundabout. There's nothing particularly critical about this location, but it gives you enough room to change lanes and get out onto the frontage road. This is the high spot here in the frontage road, so you got good acceleration, deceleration, and good visibility. And the DOT liked it because it had the potential to cross at some point in time, potentially bridge and interconnect north and south of the road. What happens then down here is the Old Matt would tee into this and would not go over the hill at all. If you wanted to go to the old Fairview Loop, this is a decent grade and a decent intersection here. And if you were going, of course, to the ranch subdivision, this is the way to the ranch. The net effect is these problems are resolved and the old Fairview would no longer have the traffic volumes that it's going to be faced with if it stays as a collector road. In fact, it'd probably be reduced by about 90%, maybe 80 to 90% in the fullness of time. It would basically only serve the Garden Terrace and the north half of Creekside. And the old Fairview here would simply be cul-de-sacked at this point to provide for, you know, these three pieces of real estate here, and that would be that. That's the basic concept. I'm probably out of my time.
I'd
be happy to answer questions if you have any.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of questions. You raised a very big subject, but it will get started. And
if I could just do it again.
Go ahead.
Let me take a quick wrap. We talked to Public Works about this, and they said, we can't do anything in a master plan without plans. Well, as a matter of fact, we have plans, contour maps, and drawings that we're happy to submit, and I know Mr. Tucker would work with the Public Works to do that. So, again, just to summarize, two things we'd like from the Assembly. First is the resolution for this concept to be funded to finish off Fairview Loop reconstruction and address to the the proper delegations there at the Valley, Valley delegations at the in Juneau. And second, to amend the long-range transportation program to have this as the viable alternative. Thank you.
Your assemblyman will, I'm sure, look out for you.
Well, can you hear me?
He heard you.
Oh, I'm here, Berkeley.
Very good.
Exactly what you're talking about.
I could
about.
Also leave these if they'll get over to the...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Colligan.
I had a quick question for Berkeley. Give me a chance. So, as far as requesting, do you have any idea the rough order of magnitude, the request?
I mean, actually, there's a monetary estimate in there, Mr. Tucker.
The plans that you've got there, we've actually been working with the borough staff here for years on this. This basic plan goes back to 1985 when it was found to be a great deal by the borough engineer and Alan Lynn and so forth. It didn't get much traction during the previous administration, but the current staff is familiar with it, as you can see from what I've sent there.
Could you just give us a number?
Oh. What I was about to say was these numbers are 2 or 3 years old.
Okay.
But our current number, price on the bridges, for what it's worth, since this is an important component, in fact, the biggest component, I think based on the Willow Bridge and the contractor that did it, I'm told complete everything, $1.9 million. The bridge over at the old Matt, probably more like $1.3. We assume it would have to have a third lane for left turn lane to get up on old Matt.
Is that enough, Assemblymember Collier? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just give a round.
Yeah,
going down asking.
This estimate in 2010 was based upon borough unit prices, which are whatever they were. $5.3 million would be the Nelson. And the other one, by the way, these are not my costing. We hired an engineer because I'm biased. I live in the neighborhood. $5.7 million on the other one.
Okay.
So you got two components to it, Nelson and the Fairview Loop.
Yeah, well, this isn't a workshop, and it's a big subject, so you've kicked it off, and if you're as good as you were last year down in Juneau, you're doing just fine.
Well, I do know I had some mention from some of our legislators they'd like to hear something from the Assembly.
Okay, well, that will be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
I skipped over the school district. Did somebody from the school district want to speak to us? I hope they didn't get mad and run away.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, I'm suspect that maybe somebody, one or two of the members, have their microphone on. I'm just having a devil of a time hearing.
It is me when I'm going on and on. off and on, I just leave it on, and I realize it makes it hard for you. Sorry about that. So, we move on to committee reports. There was a joint school board meeting. Who's Assemblymember Culver? Are you reporting on that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Brief updates on the bond, school bond construction projects were given. An update on the site selection process that a site for the new Connect Elementary is in negotiations with sellers near the existing high school site that we purchased. There seems to be, much to I think Mr. Halter's chagrin, an issue over the district accepting the grant of $900,000 for the wood-fired boiler at Sioux High. The superintendent said that the district was opposed to signing off on a agreement that would have the district repay the grant if the service was terminated. I think that was a memorandum of agreement that came from the borough on the pass-through funds through USDA. So what we did was established a small task force to they're also concerned about the M&O cost. They came up with a number of about $80,000 a year to have somebody put wood in the stove, in the boiler. And there's other issues like the boiler temperature. And so we figured Mr. Halter would be very interested in rolling up his sleeves and helping on that. So we volunteered you, Vern, along with Don Carney of M&O from the school district and Debbie Rutherford, a school board member who worked at USDA and is very familiar with those grant requirements, to work with our assistant manager, George, and Pam Ness, the staff member that's been doing the paperwork on the grant. So if you, basically the committee will be charged with looking at the operational costs and trying to iron out a solution to whether it's a go or a no-go on that. So I'd say Vern check with George on setting up a time for that. That's pretty much it on the joint meeting. We had a brief discussion, but I won't get into it because we're going to have more of that tonight on the Palmer site selection.
Thank you. Any other reports? Assemblymember Halter?
Well, just on the wood-fired boiler, Arthur Mannix certainly should be on that committee. He's probably the most knowledgeable person. Some of the stuff you said was certainly news. Emerson Kruger's been working on that project for a long time. He should probably be on that committee. The numbers that I saw were totally erroneous, and I just wanted to say that. That wood-fired boiler project is it's a good project because it's going to reduce the cost of the fuel oil to the school significantly. I think they figured their dollars at $2.59 or $2.69 for fuel oil. We all know it's closer to $4.15. So the numbers are way off from that standpoint. I think you can work out who's going to put that wood in the boiler up there quite easily, and we just have to figure it out so that this grant can go forward. And we have two different management units up there that we've got the wood already designated. We know where it's going to come from. It's all going to be local help. Mark Stahl sitting out here. He's one of the woodcutters and people up there. And so we actually could do ourselves a big favor and probably save a lot of fuel oil. So thank you.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Assemblymember Woods.
One of the comments that came up at the board meeting was that they're going to ask or need state funds for us to ask for a 70-30 match for handicapped schools. And there's some thinking that there would be some opposition in Juneau from that. So it was a comment, and whether or not we can get into that is something we'll have to look at. And on that wood-fired boiler, apparently the Environmental Protection said that they had to put that so far away from the school that they couldn't furnish 180-degree water at the school because the distance was so far, even well insulated, it would cool down to 150 degrees. So, Vern, you might want to look into that. And I was wondering if they can mitigate some of the fumes from the furnace. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that all? Okay. Moving along, Mr. Manager.
Yes, good evening. It's been a busy couple of weeks. I was in Juneau last week discussing the assembly priorities and trying to make headway with those. Today, the borough was able to make a rail presentation to the House and Senate Transportation Committee. Be in D.C. next week to work on some issues as far as data and then also fish management. On February 21st, our Fish and Game Commission is going to be making a presentation in Juneau in the afternoon of the 21st. Items that seem to be hot right now are Kabata. That seems to have quite a bit of attraction, and they'll be making a presentation at our next Port Commission meeting. And because of the holiday on the 18th, that will be on the 20th, Wednesday the 20th at 3 p.m. And Kabata will be making a presentation on their request from the state legislature. Other items that we're working on keeping close eye is the school funding, i.e. the fund balance that the assembly has been concerned with. Also, too, the Susitna Forest, that has been brought to my attention with some support, but with some areas being taken out of the Susitna Forest Management Plan. So those are the items that we have. We'll keep you posted. If you have a phone that can get applications, there is a new application, which is the Alaska Legislature, that will go to your phone and give you up-to-date meeting notices that you can get, and there's no charge to that. We will be keeping you posted. I think we've developed a real good relationship with John Harris, our new lobbyist, and I'm very pleased on how that is working out for us so far this session.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And we will have a lot of resolutions on our next assembly meeting, specifically dealing with legislation. Mr. Attorney.
I will be with the manager next week, just so everybody knows. And then this week, Thursday morning at 9:30, is a hearing on the preliminary injunction request on the core permit for the rail line. So you have the updated rail map with the segments in front of you. Remember, we have a lawsuit pending in Alaska Federal District Court over the core permit, challenges that the environmental impact statement wasn't done properly and the mitigation measures weren't proper. The plaintiffs in that case, which was the same in the other case, have requested a preliminary injunction ordering stop work while the case is going on. The hearing on that is this Thursday. I'll be reporting via email later in the afternoon, Thursday evening, as to what happened. I don't really expect the judge to rule from the bench. I expect we'll probably get a written order sometime later, maybe a couple days, but it's entirely possible he'll rule.
Thank you. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your packet and basically just has the meeting schedule for February and March and then the quasi-judicial report, and that is it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Correspondence, IAMs, there's no veto. Came close to having a veto, but ran out of time. So, well, we're ready to go into public hearings. Now, I should have mentioned it during the agenda, but we've got five items, item 5 through 9, that we can combine because they're all LIDs. They all have the appropriate votes and everything. So when we come to that, we'll do it that way. We've moved ordinance 12-069 to the end, so we're now taking up ordinance 13-017. Madam Clerk, would you read that into the record?
an ordinance approving a land exchange of 42.67 acres of borough-owned land for approximately 174 acres of University of Alaska-owned land located in the Big Lake West Susitna Parkway area for the purpose of the Port McKenzie Rail Extension, and authorizing the manager to implement the land exchange with accompanying resolution serial number 13-011, a resolution approving the best interest finding support of the exchange of land between the Matanuska-Susitna Borough and the University of Alaska, located within the Big Lake West Susitna Parkway area for the Port McKenzie Rail Extension, MSB 006739.
Thank you. I'm going to open the public hearing. There's nobody signed up to speak on that. Does anybody want to speak on public land being exchanged? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-017 with accompanying resolution serial number 13-011.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? I don't hear any, so that passes. Ordinance 13018, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $3,544.90 from the Matanuska Telephone Association to Fund 440, Project Number 20323, for upgrading and enhancing the telecommunications and information services within the Matanuska Susitna Library Services, or excuse me, Network.
Thank you. We'll open this for public hearing. Are there any librarians in the audience? Or anybody that wants to speak on this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-018.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, passes. And we move to ordinance 13-019.
An ordinance amending MSB 232040, annual allowable cut under forest management.
Okay. I do believe we have some people signed up. I know we've had correspondence on that. Mark Stahl is signed up. Would you? I am opening the public hearing and invite you to come forward.
Thank you. My name is Mark Stahl. I'm owner and operator of Denali Log and Lumber up in the Talkeetna area. And I'd like to urge the Assembly to support and pass this ordinance. I feel that if it wasn't passed, that the allowable cut would pretty much absorb anything that would be available for those small local operators in the borough from future forest management program. folks like myself and Poppert's and Bond Brothers Logging and a number of other small operators in the borough. So I don't have any direct interest in this settlement or this case or anything. I'm just worried that it might kind of ace out the rest of us if it wasn't passed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public testimony and bring it back to, why wouldn't that be Assemblymember Halter?
You want me to move it?
Oh, that's right. It is borough-wide. Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-019.
Thank you. It's on the floor. Assemblymember Halter.
I'd like to request a staff report update on this Chijuk unit, the lawsuit, and the reasons for this. And if I could, please.
To the degree possible, Mr. Attorney.
Well, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, obviously we discussed a lot of these issues in executive session. If you want me to give a public report, I certainly can. But
I'm wondering if that might not be more appropriate. So So you're to blame if we say something we're not supposed to say.
Well, if there's no objection from the assembly, I can go over it.
I know you're well versed in sure. what's going on here. So
sure.
Go
so
ahead.
The annual allowable cut, as it currently stands, was passed a couple of years ago by the borough assembly. Obviously, the dispute with Mr. Nash has been going on since 2002. When that annual allowable cut calculation and everything was coming through, at the borough assembly's direction, we were in conversations with Mr. Nash's attorney regarding potential settlement of the case. Part of the resolution of that settlement would be to allow him to go back in and harvest timber for 5 years from the date of the signing of the contract. However, as we were doing that and we came across the annual allowable cut as it currently stands would allow approximately 750 acres of timber to be harvested in the entire borough every year. And so the exemption is so that this one unit doesn't chew up, as the public commenter said, doesn't chew up all of the timber for all of the borough. The other thing in looking at this was the deputy borough attorney, John Ashburner, went back and kind of reviewed the history of the annual allowable cut and how it got enacted. And the assembly at that time kind of indicated that it wanted to see higher numbers, wanted to see revisions coming forward. There has been some, you know, turnover in land management. We have a new land management person who manages the forests, the timber harvest. We have a new community development director. You know, we talk with them and the manager, and they're going to be working on a revision to the annual allowable cut in accordance with that assembly directive to be coming forward in the future. It's not ready at this point, but this exemption would allow the settlement to go forward and not chew up everybody's timber. Again, whether, you know, the amount of annual allowable cut is a decision to be made by the assembly, and right now, based upon those comments, it may be a little low. So,
Mr. Mayor. Assembly Member Halter.
So how many acres are we talking about with Mr. Nash and Chija?
And so,
go ahead.
So the two attorneys who have been working on this are in the back of the room. I'll ask them to come up here and jump in if I say anything wrong. The Chujik area itself is approximately 24,000 square acres. The operable timber is about 16,000 acres. And under the settlement, Mr. Nash would be able to harvest between 450 and 550 acres at a time, after which the borough would go and inspect the harvest, make sure things were done properly, and after sign-off, he would then be able to move on and harvest more.
Question. If this ordinance does not pass, what effects is it going to have on these other logging operations? If it did not pass, we didn't change it.
Then the smaller operations are going to get squeezed out because the rest of the annual allowable cut is going to be taken up in Chukik.
There would be no sales in any other management units.
That's correct.
Could not be.
It would be dependent upon how much Mr. Nash actually gets cut. But when if he gets out there and starts cutting, it's entirely possible that there wouldn't be anything left for anybody else to cut.
Is there an expiration date to this ordinance?
There is not.
Should there be?
That's up to you. The contract that we're going to enter into per the assembly direction is going to be for 5 years. So if you're going to have an expiration date, I would just suggest July 1, 2018.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Keogh.
To the mayor, to the manager, just reviewing some of the past information on this. Some have asserted, and I think I've heard it before, that this stand of forest, this stand of birch is perhaps the best, the finest stand of birch forest in the borough. Is that correct?
I would think that would be subjected. When we were up there, what we found is a lot of overgrown forest that really needed some tending to be healthy. I don't know how our quality compares anyone else. It may be the best in the borough, but it might not be that great for what we have.
to follow up?
Assemblymember Keel.
I'm looking at the language from the Superior Court decision from some time ago that recounts that the borough worked closely with Mr. Nash, giving him a number of extensions of time in which to meet the harvest requirements. And the termination of the contract was not motivated by bad faith. A reasonable person could only regard the extensive efforts and accommodations made by the borough in this respect as fair, especially given the fact that Mr. Nash did not meet a single deadline that had been set. So I guess my open-ended question is, if given this past history, why do we want to make an exception to a sustainable harvest of timber in this unit? Why do we want to have a settlement with someone who, by one account, left I think it's 10 million board feet of material wasted, enough to frame and sheath about 1,000 2,400 square foot homes? What's the rationale for going back and making this exception in order to settle?
Mr. Attorney? There's a simple answer.
The answer is I'm following the Assembly's direction on this matter.
That's true. We're also settling a very long-standing lawsuit. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, I think we got off the point of this ordinance was not the lawsuit. The reasoning that the gentleman that spoke to us gave, that it cuts out the smaller guy, is we've already decided to do this thing regarding the lawsuit, so now do we want to damage the other smaller log people? And my answer is no. What this is about here is the change is to allow others other than the plaintiff in the lawsuit to be able to conduct their own business. And if we don't pass this, I believe the gentleman that spoke is probably accurate. Put the rest of them out of business and let one guy savor the rest. So I'm in favor and ready to vote, sir.
Are we ready? Assemblymember Holt.
Well, I agree with Mr. Salmon's analysis totally, but I want to move to amend to add a termination date of July 1st, 2018, please.
Okay, there's a motion to...
Mr. Mayor?
Just a minute, Assemblymember Arvin. We're just finding exactly where this is at the end of the black underlined.
It'll be on Section E.
Section E.
Right after the word unit.
Is that in the underlined black?
Yes. Then it'll just read through July 1, 2018, then keep the rest of the wordage.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to all be over by then anyway. Do I see a problem here? Mr. Attorney.
If I could have the deputy or assistant borough attorney address the assembly before moving
through the mayor. I just wanted to add that it is a 5-year contract, but there's an optional 1-year extension that is solely in the discretion of the borough. So you might want to provide for that 1 year if you put a time frame on it.
It's going to be 5 years, at least right now. So, there's a motion on the floor. We're going to insert. Oh, Assemblymember Arvin, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was my question. If the contract has roles and extensions, and presuming the contractor will perform per the requirement of this redefined contract, then it would be in everybody's best interest to have that date extended to the potential term of the contract, and I would make a secondary motion to do that and ask the attorney to give me what date that would be with respect to the roles and extension options that are in fact in the agreement.
Mr. Attorney.
It would be one additional year, Assemblymember Arvin, so it would be July 1, 2019 would be the recommendation.
So the secondary amendment is to change July 1, 2019. Are we ready for the question? Is there objection to the secondary amendment? There is one objection, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yep.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Halter and Keough opposed.
Okay. On the main question, on the primary amendment, Madam Clerk, I can't say that carried the primary amendment. I don't know why not. Okay, we're going to do it all over. All those of voting on the amendment, the primary amendment as amended. Is there objection?
Yes.
The primary amendment as amended. You just voted.
No, you don't. Do it as carried.
Really? Okay. You want to speak to it? Okay. Madam Clerk, take the vote now is on the primary amendment amended, which is July 1st, 2019.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culligan, Woods, and Salmon opposed.
Okay, we have the primary motion as amended twice on the floor. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes as amended. Thank you. We're now ready for 13-006, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, you want me to take
yes.
5 through 9 together?
Let's read 5 through 9, please.
Ordinance Serial Number 13006, an ordinance confirming the assessment role for the Homestead Estates and on the Iditarod Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 460 and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners. Accompanying Ordinance 13007, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $67,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the Homestead Estates and on the Iditarod Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 460 and affixing details of said bonds. Ordinance 13008, an ordinance confirming the assessment role for the Ravens Hill and Norman Lang's Holiday Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 470 and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners. Ordinance Serial Number 13009, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $482,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the Ravens Hill and Norman Lang's Holiday Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 470 and fixing details of said bonds. Ordinance Serial Number 1310, an ordinance confirming the assessment role for the South Starlight Lane Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 475 and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners with accompanying Ordinance 1311, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $78,000 in principal amount of special assessment bonds for South Starlight Lane Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 475 and fixing details of said bonds. Ordinance Serial Number 13012, an ordinance confirming the assessment role for the Shadow Mirror Estates Phase 1 Natural Gas Local Improvement District, Number 481, and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners with accompanying Ordinance 13014, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $25,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the Shadow Mirror Estates Phase 1 Natural Gas Local Improvement District, Number 481, and fixing details of said bonds. Ordinance Serial Number 13015, an ordinance confirming the assessment role for the East Doc McKinley and South Jesse Joe Place Natural Gas Local Improvement District, Number 486, and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners with accompanying Ordinance 1316, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $55,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the East Doc McKinley and South Jesse Joe Place Natural Gas Local Improvement District, Number 486, and fixing details of said bonds.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We will open the public hearing, and the disadvantage of taking all of these is if you do want to speak to these, you need to be sure to tell us which one it is. There's no sign-up sheet, so if anybody wants to speak to any of these, please come forward. State your name for the record. I don't see anybody, so we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance Serial Number 13006 with Ordinance Serial Number 13-007, Ordinance Serial Number 13008, and Ordinance Serial Number 13009, Ordinance Serial Number 13010, and Ordinance Serial Number 13011, Ordinance Serial Number 13-012, and Ordinance Serial Number 13-014. Ordinance Serial Number 13-015 and Ordinance Serial Number 13-016.
Thank you. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough, then Assemblymember Colbert.
Through the mayor to the manager, if we could please have a staff explain to me and our other assembly members and whoever in the audience would like to know the difference between when these gas improvement, when these LIDs come before us prior to construction for their approval, and now this, when we reach the point where we confirm the role. Could you just simply explain the difference?
Mr. Manager?
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Hartley, the Borough Comptroller. The difference between the ordinance that was approved prior to this was the creation of the LID. That was before work had begun. The ordinance that is before you tonight, one is confirming the assessment role, such as property names and identifications. The other is authorizing the issuance and sale of bonds for the LIDs.
Assemblymember Keough.
And it's my understanding the assessments for the cost of construction for the gas lines for these five LIDs that are now all in place are they're less than the original anticipated cost. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
And just for the record, too, there were several pieces of letter correspondence, mostly from constituents of mine in District 1, and I would just like to make sure that these are in the record. Regarding the East Doc McKinley and South Jesse Joe Place natural gas LID, that's 486. There's a formal objection written by Mr. David Wells. And also in the Soapstone area for the Norman Lang Holiday subdivision, that's, I'm not sure, whatever gas LID, there's letters of objection written by Mr. Timothy Comfort, Ms. Alice Comfort, Mr. James Comfort on four different parcels, as
Mr.
well
Mayor,
as
point of order.
As well as Gail Edgerton on the same LID.
Mr. Mayor,
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, point of order, is the assembly member testifying on behalf of his constituents, or what's the protocol?
We have brought the motion back to the table, and we're still waiting to hear what the point is. But while he's putting some objections on the record,
this letter correspondence arrived in my folder just at the time the meeting began. So this was news to me. I wasn't aware of these objections, but I'd just like to have them noted for the record.
Thank you. So noted.
And if I could, I'll move to add these formal letters of objection to the instructional memo.
Madam Clerk?
I'm sorry, I did not understand what you were asking. You're asking for these to be attached to the legislation?
I'm asking that they be attached to the instructional memo for the legislation.
Are you talking about the staff memorandum, the IM?
Yes.
I can go ahead and do that without you making the motion, Assemblymember Keough. I will go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Thank you, Ms. Hartley. Is there any objection to these?
Assemblymember Culver.
Oh, Assemblymember Culver?
Yeah, that's been covered. Thank you.
So, is there any objection? Hearing none, they pass. And we come to Ordinance 1320.
Ordinance 1320, an ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $7,000 of revenues from public donations to fiscal year 2013 Animal Care and Regulation Division operating budget for surgical equipment.
Is anybody wishing to speak to that? I'll open the public hearing. I don't see anybody. We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Woods.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-020.
Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 1322.
An ordinance directing the borough manager to investigate the potential acquisition of properties described as Parcel 2 of MSB Waiver Resolution Serial Number 2008-120-PWM, recorded at 2008-0268885-0 Palmer Recording District, State of Alaska.
Thank you. We do have a couple of people signed up to speak to this, and so Margaret Adsit first, and then Michael Miller.
You gentlemen of the Assembly, my name is Margaret Adsit, and I come to you today as a concerned citizen because I believe there is a clear conflict of interest that has occurred with the presentation of Ordinance Number 13021 as presented by the clerk. I'd like to read a few definitions and policies and prohibited acts by the Borough Code that I think apply to this presentation of conflict of interest. First and foremost, under the purposes and policy, under the terms of benefit and financial interest. Under the term of benefit, which means, according to the code, anything that is to the person's advantage or self-interest or from which a person profits regardless of the financial gain, including any acquisition, agreement to purchase, transfer of money, deposit, loan or loan guarantee, promise to pay, etc. Under the same definition list, financial interest mean an interest held by a person subject to this code or an immediate family member, which includes an involvement or ownership of an interest in a business, including a property ownership or professional private relationship that is a source of income or from which or as a result of which a person has received or expects to receive a financial benefit in amount over $1,000. I believe that by Assemblymember Woods' presentation of this ordinance, he is in direct violation of 2.71.070, Conflict of Interest Prohibited Acts, under Section 8, misuse of official position, use of borough time, property, equipment, or other facilities to benefit substantial financial interests, and number D, taking or withholding official action in order to affect a matter in which the municipal official has a substantial financial interest. And with the final remaining minute, I bring this forth with potential documentation coming in future testimony and a clear consideration that as representatives of the people that you are entrusted to, I hope that you take this as a clear conflict of interest. And in knowing that it is a conflict of interest or if it is found to be a conflict of interest, I hope that each of you will then be held liable to your vote here this evening. Thank you so much for your time and consideration. I hope you choose wisely.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, followed by Matthew Beck.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Assembly. My name is Michael Miller, and I'm here to supplement the testimony just given by Margaret Adsit. I'd like to present the following documents to be recorded as part of this testimony. One is a deed of trust regarding the property in discussion. It shows that Noel Woods is a trustee and beneficiary. Two, original mortgage for $495,000 shows the potential for significant financial interest greater than $1,000, which would be prohibited by code 271020AD. Articles of organization for Shane's Homestead LLC showing that Noel Woods is an organizing agent of an LLC that owns an adjacent property that could potentially benefit him or his immediate family as defined by 271005. In conclusion, I would just like to say that the potential for a significant financial interest by Assemblymember Woods in this ordinance means that he should not take any such action. Furthermore, given that there is significant monetary interest by Assemblymember Woods in this ordinance, the rest of the Assembly should not take any action either. Thank you. Are there any questions? That clock is very intimidating.
Well,
I'd like to turn this into the borough clerk.
Some people like looking at that better than looking at their own face. Thank you, and we will consider that later. Mr. Beck.
Good evening. My name is Matthew Beck from Palmer, Alaska, and I'd just like to direct my conversation to Mr. Woods. I'm fairly new to Palmer. I've only lived here for 7.5 years, but my wife was raised here and graduated from Palmer High School. And your reputation is very positive as one of service and ethics and hard work in the Valley. And many of the same people that share that opinion are now questioning some of that with regards to this specific ordinance. And I'd really encourage you to reconsider this, please, and I'd encourage the borough assembly members to vote against this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to this?
I haven't started yet, so can you start the clock over? That is really intimidating. I'd rather look at my face. Thank you. Good evening.
Don't say we don't give choice here.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Michelle Church. When I was elected to the Assembly in... Oh, awesome.
Sir, could you please start the clock over?
There we go. He got it.
Okay.
Okay. We're
good. Okay, ready? All right. Good evening. For the record, my name is Michelle Church. And when I was elected to the Assembly in 2006, very early in our term, we were asked to vote on the South Palmer School site. The site selection process had already occurred, and the recommendation of the site selection committee, the school district, and the borough manager was for the Nelson property to be the site of the new school. Part of the information we received at that time was that Mr. Sorensen wanted above market value for his property, and we were not willing to spend borough tax dollars that way. There were other issues as well that pointed to the Nelson property being the better acquisition, including the fact that it was donated. We had many questions on the access issue for what would become Mokotan's Elementary. All our inquiries were met with assurances that access would be acquired well before the school was to open. That did not happen, and to this day has not been corrected, as you heard earlier. What appeared to the public to have happened, though, was a site was selected that ended up giving a substantial financial benefit to a developer who had close relationships with elected officials. One of Mr. Sorensen's complaints to the Assembly back in 2007 was this appearance of a conflict of interest, this lack of transparency in the process. The Mokotan site was selected as part of a process that we grew to see as very flawed, given the significant access problems. And in 2008, we asked for a full investigation into the site selection, not to reverse the selection because that was not possible, but to learn what went wrong and put a process in place that would better serve the public. Fast forward to today. Some 6 years later, Mr. Sorensen has apparently not been able to get the price he wants for his property, or he would have sold it by now. And now he is the developer with close personal relationships with elected officials, and he has a very odd sense of entitlement to maximizing his profit with public money. The resolution passed in 2007, which this ordinance is based on, and to which you give a great deal of emphasis to, even though all of you know it is not a binding document, resolutions are nothing more than a statement. The 2007 resolution ends, be it further resolved, that when the manager will continue reasonable efforts to acquire the Springer Loop site when funding for constructing a new school is available. There is no funding for this school. The reasonable effort the manager should be taking is to let the school site selection process proceed. The voters were promised as part of the bond package that passed a year ago that no further bonds to build schools will be requested for 5 years. This ordinance, irrespective of the ethical lapses so aptly brought to light tonight, is 4 years too early. Let the school site selection process move forward in full daylight. Listen to the public. You serve them, not Mr. Sorensen's need to increase his profits or to satisfy a note one of your members holds on him in
so that that member can increase his family's trust accounts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Terry Snyder, I want to talk about Ordinance 13021 that was brought forth by Assemblyman Woods. This is just part of what a public process looks like, in case you've forgotten what a public process looks like. It's the agenda, the minutes, the handouts, and the notes that have been kept since 2009 on just about every school site selection committee that was held open to the public and attended on my own time, on my own expense, and no expectation of personal monetary gain. It includes a huge amount of work that was brought by the borough staff through direction of three different chairs and numerous appointed committee members that have come and gone through a revolving political door. The committee found new purpose due to the lessons that were resulting from the fallout from the special bond election in 2006 and a school that was promised in South Palmer, and it went further south than anyone imagined from a deal the borough couldn't pass up on donated land. The chair and the member of that previous assembly and the committee spent months trying to meet and approve the new matrix and steps that would assure transparency when spending the public dollar for new land for schools. The double-blind trust, which you've discussed here, was introduced by Dr. Burnley, former superintendent. But he was very clear when he specified that it be someone from Anchorage, someone not associated here in the Valley, and that worked as a consultant on a non-commissioned basis. This failure of this process alone, with the intent of the committee, seemingly has resulted in no savings to date on the land, and it's only added to an unnecessary burden to the staff in the borough, whose load wasn't lessened either. The future site for the South Elementary School was not requested by the school district. A member of the assembly serving on the commission brought it up for discussion as a possible need for a new South Palmer school and asked that the demographics be explored. This school has not been presented to the voters for bond approval, although it's anticipated it may be needed after the five-year moratorium is over. Assembly members should be asking, in what other cases do we let vendors and sellers dictate the borough process? Has the borough learned nothing about the cost of eliminating a transparent public process? Does anyone find it ironic that the seller of this parcel, who has been lobbying the assembly intently, was once what he described a victim of the endgame and is now acting to be the victor? What a huge waste of taxpayer money. This assembly is self-described as conservative. Let's act it.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing, and we're going to take a 10-minute at ease. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any objection to opening the public hearing again? Madam, state your name for the record.
For the record, my name's Lucille Fry. I support this ordinance that you have before you tonight, and ask you all to honor the borough residents' vote in the support of the South Palmer School. I understand that the construction of this school is not being considered at this time, or maybe ever. The fact that the school is built in South Wasilla instead does not alleviate the need for a school for South Palmer. It is my understanding there were two sites under considerations. One was a too small 9-acre hay lot, and in 2007, Kevin Sorensen offered a revised lesser amount for his approximately 34 acres in the Springer area. That includes city sewer, phone, electric, gas lines on both the north to south and east to west lines, pavement on two sides, and he offered to put in water at no cost to the borough. The site is flat, which would make construction easier to not only build one school building but allow space for a second school as needed. Unless he has changed his mind, the borough needs to look at the near future and follow up on this opportunity. This school needs to come to the front of the list for school construction and to show respect to the voters. And we did vote bond issue for that school. It got spent elsewhere. It got spent for the Wasilla School. So you derelict in your duty, and I would ask that you show respect for the voters in that original vote, because there have been a number of people I've talked to that were very unhappy about it going elsewhere, and they still are. Thank you.
Just for the record, ma'am, when you say Wasilla, you're talking about Mokotoks?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? I don't see anybody else. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be back at 7:20. Are you there, Assembly Member Arvin?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. We're back to order. There's only two casualties. There's Assembly Member Keough. Is Assembly Member Solomon here? Well, we have a quorum, so Assembly Member Woods has declared a conflict of interest, and so I'm going to recuse him, but I'm also going to pull this item from the agenda because I think because of the conflict, the process is tainted. And if there's no objection, I'm going to take this off the table. Or it's not on the table yet, but I don't hear any objections. Assemblymember Woods?
Yes, I asked you if you would declare whether I had an objection or not.
I did. Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
So I've heard no objection. Okay, Assemblymember Colligan.
Just for the record, I wanted to comment. I mean, it's tough sitting here listening to testimony and as a freshman assembly person watching this process. The site selection committees and the process for school site selection, to me, is only second in complaints to CATS and complaints in the borough. People who come up and testify also have special interest. They aren't stating of farmland preservation and their own special interest for the other property owner. And I would hope that this next year we define a little bit different process. And I'd like to see no assembly people or a totally independent body work on the site selection. It is to me the most, I don't know, corrupt, but just dramatic, drawn out affair there is. And like I say, it's only a close second to CATS. Thanks.
Okay, Madam Clerk, we're ready for Ordinance 1321.
It'll be 1322, Mr. Mayor. An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $40,000 from the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Fund Balance, Fund 259, to the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Fiscal Year 2013 Operating Budget, Fund 259, to provide reimbursement for firefighter wages and funding for tanker autofill equipment with accompanying AM number 13012, authorizing a contract amendment for the fiscal year 2013 Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Agreement in an amount not to exceed $25,650. For fire protection services within the City of Palmer for the contract period of January 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2013.
Thank you. We'll open this for public hearing. There's no sign-up sheet, or is there? No? Anybody want to speak to this? No firefighters? Okay, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Woods.
I move Ordinance 13022 and AM 13012.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And we move to Ordinance 13-023.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $15,410 from the non-area-wide fund balance, Fund 200, to the Sutton Library Fiscal Year 2013 Operating Budget, Fund 200, to provide additional funds for property insurance and heating fuel oil.
Thank you. We'll open this for public hearing. There's nobody signed up. Does anybody want to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keel. Well, Assemblymember Arvin, was that you?
No.
Okay. Lucille's here. I'm sorry, that's twice. I've just about... I closed the public hearing, but I'll open it up for you.
Okay. Well, and I'm not sure that how big a problem this is, but it says that you will... The funds, additional funds to the Sutton Library Fund for property insurance and heating fuel. We have a building, a community building in the Butte. I'd like to know where our money is. And is it? And I've also got an ordinance here that said something about sharing program funds, and I didn't know whether that applied to that, and that's why my testimony is kind of... But I would like to know if, because if you're going to put funds in for one community council building, even if it has a library attached to it as an excuse, the other buildings, the community councils have buildings, that have buildings, should be also considered for funding like this.
Thank you. I'm sure that'll be addressed.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I'll close the public hearing for the second time, and we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Keel.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-023, and I'd like to speak to it.
Please do.
First, if I might respond to the comments of Ms. Lucille Fry, I think the funding in this instance is for the new Library and Community Resource Center in Sutton that was just opened this past year. It's a new building. There were estimates made on the cost of fuel. They were off the mark, so... They were underestimated. That's why this ordinance is before us. In regard to your comment about funding for the Butte Community Council building, a community council center is different than a community resource center and library, such as we have in Sutton. Those few communities that do have their own community council center or building typically fund themselves as far as heating, the couple that I'm familiar with. And Ms. Fry, there are funds available to your community council, and I've mentioned that several times. There are community revenue share funds available from the state, and every year for the last 4 or 5 years there's been a dollar amount available between, I think, 22 and...
Assemblymember Keogh, let's stick to the motion, please.
Okay, Ms. Fry, if you want to speak to me later, I can tell you that there's been over $100,000 funds available to your community council. Nothing further.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I don't hear any. Is there any objection? I guess there's no other community councils concerned here. So it passes. And we move to Ordinance 1324.
An ordinance to convey 40 acres more or less with creation, covenants, conditions, and restrictions to the Willow Area Community Organization for the development of a community park, MSB 004529.
Thank you. Does anybody want to speak to that? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Just not passing an ordinance conveying any acres to any park. About the time that conveyance is done, somebody will probably come in with a pencil and make a few changes to it, and you may end up with a Wheeler Park instead of a community park. So I would suggest not passing any community park development plans until we're absolutely sure we know what it is we're going to develop before we change words such as motorized access becoming motorized use or failing to get input from the community.
Madam, are you from Willow? You don't have to be from Willow, but I guess it
I'm warning Willow.
What's that?
I'm just here as a citizen of the borough to tell the community of Willow how plans change when nobody's looking.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they've discussed this. Anybody else? Close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-024 and would ask for approval, notwithstanding the last speaker's comments. I am from Willow, and this is a long, this 40 acres has been picked out, and there was an idea that maybe there should be a management agreement with the borough, where the borough retained ownership, but then, of course, you assume operating costs and things like that. I think the community of Willow kind of opted for the Meadow Lakes plan, where they buy the property and then go out and seek grants and money from health foundations and stuff to develop their park. This would be a trailhead. They want to put a large parking lot in for people to come out to snow machine and things like that, and trail accesses, and it would just be a great thing for the community of Willow. And I'd ask for approval, please.
Okay. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, passes. And we move to our second to last public hearing, 13024.
We're on 13025, and it's an ordinance amending MSB 17.02020 land use permit under mandatory land use permit.
Yeah, it's second to last because we got to do the first one yet. Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Anybody want to speak on 1325? Please come forward and speak on this ordinance. Not
this
on
ordinance, 13025 land use planning, I believe, is requiring special permits for flood hazard development, no other. And if that's the case, then I suggest we don't bother because nobody's getting flood use permits anyways, and there's no way to enforce it. So since 1985, I don't think anybody's been getting a flood permit. So there's no point in bothering with it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Salmon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance seal number 13-025.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Halter, are you speaking or just blinking your light?
Oh.
Okay. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And we now move to our very first public hearing, ordinance 12-169.
An ordinance amending MSB 17.73 multifamily development design standards and MSB 17.125.010 definitions.
Thank you. We have a sign-in sheet. Oh, it's not full either. So, Mr. Tilton is first.
Actually, I'm a little bit puzzled based on the handouts out here. It appears as though we have an ordinance for modifying it for the definition of primitive dwellings that Mr. Halter had put forward, which I want to speak in favor of that. That's well worded. But the handout, which speaks to ordinance 12169, has everything in it, including the revisions, and talks about the revisions from the Planning Commission from what was submitted from Mr. Salmon's original motion. So I'm just wondering, are we just dealing with a primitive portion, or is it the whole thing? Because I would speak to the rest of it if it's more than just the primitive.
Well, we will be dealing with the ordinance as it was introduced, and normally that is what that includes what the Planning Commission has done to it.
In this case, it doesn't have one word of what the Planning Commission recommended.
Yeah, we will have a staff report on this too.
Exactly. I would like
in
to speak
fact,
to
it. I think since there is interest on this, Mr. Manager, why don't we have the staff report first? Because we do commonly do that before we close public hearings. So
okay.
If you want to just...
The proposed ordinance just doesn't mention the Planning Commission's recommendations at all.
Well, not the ordinance wouldn't, but the memo does. So, you can resume your testimony afterward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Just want to briefly touch on what you've got in front of you, because it is kind of a unique situation, and we have a lot of moving parts to this topic right now. As you're aware, 1773 has made multiple appearances in front of the Assembly since the summer of 2012. It was first brought forward by Assemblymember Solomon for complete repeal, and that was sent down to the Planning Commission for comments. Their recommendation was they needed more information, more direction from the Assembly, and that is where that was left for the time being. Late in the fall, early winter, public comment and dialogue began about issues related to quality, affordable housing, and a situation referred to as felony flats. Petitions were brought forward, and there were amendments that were suggested to make sure that 1773 could apply to those types of situations. Those amendments were brought forward through this ordinance and by Assemblymember Halter. Those were then sent down to the Planning Commission. In the meantime, Assemblymember Solomon had made suggestions on and directed those to the Planning Commission related to not doing a full repeal, but how multifamily could be revised to make it maybe possibly more affordable and easier for developers to create affordable housing. With that, the Planning Commission basically was faced with two documents at the same time, both dealing with the same topic but traveling in fairly different paths, and we tried to pull those together so the Assembly could act efficiently on both of these. So what you have in front of you is the ordinance itself, and the ordinance asks you to deal with the Assembly Halter's amendments. And as you'll see in the resolution, which is in the packet, the resolution from the Planning Commission states that they support those amendments by Assemblymember Halter, along with the suggestions made by Assistant Borough Attorney Lisa Richard. And then there's a second, therefore, where they recommend that the Assembly consider the amendments brought forward by Assemblymember Solomon through a table that they've conveniently tried to put those amendments into. So as you'll see, the packet contains a highlighted draft showing Assemblymember Solomon's amendments, but then those are broken up for your convenience so you can see those. And there are three columns indicating the recommended either changes, agree, or disagree from the Planning Commission. Because Assemblymember Solomon's amendments were not brought forward in their own separate ordinance, this was the most efficient way for the Planning Commission to act on this and share their thoughts with you and to get it back at the same time while you dealt with this issue as a whole. Questions related to 1774, which Mr. Tilton alluded to, is a second ordinance that reflects direct wishes from the community to deal more with the issue related to felony flats or developments of that type. And because of the requirements that were requested, it was hard to merge these two documents. And because actions were already being proposed to 1773, to try and merge those were like trying to hit a moving target. So we brought this forward to be dealt with first, and then that will be followed up by the substandard housing ordinance, 1774, that's being proposed, which is in front of the Planning Commission.
So that's still in the works.
Correct.
And just to be clear, the Planning Commission agreed with all of Assemblymember Halter's and Assemblymember Solomon's recommendations.
No, they've agreed with all of Assemblymember Halter's recommendations as they would be tweaked via the legal memo. And then in the table, you'll see they've probably agreed with, about 50% of them. The additional fourth or quarter are recommendations with changes, so they would agree to it if it was tweaked as they recommended. And the last quarter are ones that they've disagreed with. Probably the most notable disagreements, there is a section under landscaping. The proposed amendment is to remove the entire section, and there was pretty much a 50-50 split down the middle. It was not a formal vote, but the discussion was split on the commission. And the other issue that was very not contentious, but not unanimous, would be related to the density threshold in which the ordinance would apply. So right now, multifamily applies at 5 units per 40,000 square feet or 7 or more, no matter what the lot size. And the proposed amendment would bring that density threshold up to 12 units per 40,000 square feet and no maximum lot size requirement.
Okay. Well, I think that will help us through the evening.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yeah, Ms. Kruger, what is the affordable housing ordinance? Is that Mr. Salmon's as amended? I'm a little confused on what we're calling that ordinance.
1774 is what we're currently calling a substandard housing ordinance. Nobody likes the title. We didn't use the word affordable housing because that's a federal definition of what affordable housing is. But what 1774 was designed to do and what staff was asked to create was something that dealt with the location of smaller developments, individual shacks, housing, whatever name you want to give them, and finding some minimal fire and life safety regulations for those and some access options and minor landscaping. And because the requirement that was requested in there has a lot to do with location, they're not supposed to be on major arterial roads, and it's not in there, but the permit would be required when the property abuts a major arterial road or is in what's considered a residential area. And so because of some of those requirements, it didn't easily mesh into 1773.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culligan.
Through the manager and staff, what is the time frame to finish baking the other portions of this?
It was in front of the Planning Commission last night for additional discussion. The public hearing has been open and closed on that. As discussion got going, there are questions on how this ordinance could be, or how 1774 could be amended, and those started to play into how 1773 was going to be amended. So it was the decision of the Planning Commission last night to table that discussion till you made your decisions tonight, and they're holding a special meeting on the 25th of February where they can have a more open dialogue with the community because this was very community-driven, and we'll have something immediately ready for you following that.
So this portion that's in front of us tonight is because of a deadline set by this body? So you have part of it, is that what you're saying?
Yes, this is in front of you because there was a deadline for it. But it's the easiest way to take this is they're two separate issues that have a lot in common. So this is kind of the first phase. You had concerns related to 1773 and it being easy and affordable and appropriate for developing multifamily in the Matsu Borough. And that was really the issue brought forward by Assemblymember Salmon. You had the other issue of what was on the books and what could be applied to current concerns related to housing quality and safety. Because those things were happening at the same time, and this was trying to come back so that the Assembly could see both these issues rather than kind of seeing one till the other and not being able to make decisions that would relate to one another, we brought this ordinance to get at the same time. So you have Vern's recommendations that deal with the concerns about how to apply this, and then we have the additional recommendations that can be taken into consideration and put into the ordinance tonight that come from Assemblymember Salmon.
Okay. Well, thank you. We will continue our public hearing. Did that help you, Mr. Tilton?
Clarify something. It looks to me as though you have Mr. Halder's original recommendations in front of you, and Mr. Salmon's are not in the proposed ordinance. If you want to add any of those, you'll have to amend the ordinance in front of you. Just to quickly speak to it, I will have to compliment your staff that was just here because they actually prepared that graph, and the graph is actually very handy if you look at it in your packet. And I want to speak in favor of what the Planning Commission has put forward. Even though I don't 100% agree with it, I still think it's probably a good compromise, so to speak. The only thing I had any action with was, if you're looking at your table, is item number 3. It's there's a twofold density formula, and you only need one. You got the math formula that works, and your item number 3 speaks to exceeding seven dwellings, regardless of size. So you got 160 acres, and now somebody wants to get his kids out there with some cabins or something like that, and he's back into a multifamily situation, and he doesn't have 80 acres in 80 lots. He's got one parcel. Anyway, I would recommend striking that and amend this particular ordinance to include all the recommendations that were originally Mr. Solomon's that came from the Planning Commission per the table.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? There's nobody signed up. This is open right now for this ordinance. Yeah, please come forward. Is there anybody else? Oh, it's a fast machine.
Brenda, bring the mic down.
Yeah, well, there we go. Please state your name for the record.
Bill Johnson. And I'd just like to agree with what Berkeley said as far as the amount of buildings that you can put on a larger piece like that. It makes sense. So I agree with putting Solomon's or Darcy's proposal back into that. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to... Now, who owns this now? It's been around. Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-169, and I have several amendments I need to make, three of which are the borough attorney. I think I passed them out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want me to read them. There's amendment 1, 2, and 3 that just are technical. It does the correct language.
Yeah, read them one at a time, and
okay.
we'll plow through.
Amendment 1, I move to amend serial ordinance number 12-169 in section 3 on page 27 of the packet to read as follows. This density threshold does not apply to short-term transient accommodations, such as hotels, motels, cabin rentals, bed and breakfast accommodations, short-term transient accommodations, as defined by this chapter, subject to regulations in MSB 332.010, 332.020, 332.030, and subsequent amendments. Short-term transient accommodations shall be exempt from standards of this chapter. That's Amendment 1. Amendment 2.
Okay, no, let's act on that. I'll take that as a motion, and Madam Clerk, would you clarify some of that's supposed to be deleted?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It looks like the language that reads, such as hotels, motels, cabin rentals, and bed and breakfast accommodations, short-term transient accommodations, is supposed to be deleted language.
Is that...
That's fine.
Okay. Is there a discussion on this amendment? Is there objection?
Well, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, it would appear as though, and I understand Mr. Halter's objective, but it's largely undoing the rewrite.
Well, it's my understanding that's what the Planning Commission agreed to, so...
Well, could I speak to that?
Assemblymember Halter, do you want to speak to that?
I think this just protects the tourism industry, you know, hotels, motels, cabin rentals, and things like that, that they're totally exempted from this ordinance, per se. And it's just clearly written in there. And I think it should be in there, and I don't think it really affects a multifamily at all.
Assemblymember Arvin?
Well, I don't have any further comment. I guess, you know, what happens is, you know, this started down the path because Felony Flats was feared as moving north, and there was a knee-jerk reaction to that to try to come up with some language to prevent that from happening further up the highway. And now we're rewriting it to protect tourism industry. And I'm wondering, in haste, who else we might be thwarting by not considering other activities as well that are just as important to our economy as the tour industry.
Could I?
So I guess I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. I don't have an opinion quite yet.
Okay. Well, we'll let...
Well, this exemption's always been in the original multifamily. This is nothing new. This is was in there.
Okay. So is there objection to this motion? Hearing none, Assemblymember Halter.
I amendment 2. I move to amend Serial Ordinance 12-169 in Section 4 and page 188 of the packet by not adding a definition for short-term transient accommodation to MSB 1773-250A.
Okay.
I guess if there's a... Because they're putting it into 125.
Okay, so that's coming somewhere else?
In definitions.
Okay. Is there objection to that? I don't hear any.
Amendment 3, I move to amend Ordinance Serial Number 12-169, Section 5 and page 188 of the packet, so that instead of deleting the definition for short-term transient accommodation currently in MSB 17-125-010A, the definition would be amended to read as follows. Short-term transient accommodation means accommodations for compensation in a building or portions of a building consisting of a residency of any period less than 60 days. If residency exceeds 59 consecutive days, it cannot be considered a short-term transient accommodation for purposes of this chapter.
Okay. Is there objection to that? Hearing none.
And my fourth amendment. No, this is one I'm going to make orally. I move to amend Ordinance 17-70. So the ordinance will include all amendments by Mr. Salmon that have been approved or approved with changes at the Planning Commission as outlined in the attachment.
Wow, okay.
And you can see the columns that say approved, and then you see the ones approved with noted changes.
So the motion is to approve all of Assemblymember Salmon's amendments that were approved by the Planning Commission.
Or approved with changes.
Or approved as changed by the Planning Commission.
Correct.
Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah, I would move further move to have that brought back to us. Have that brought back to us at a special meeting at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, March 12th. We need a document that incorporates Halter's latest amendments, his proposed amendment, so that would be pending, so that we have a document to look at. Then we can debate. There's some conflicting data.
Point, Assemblymember Culver, you want to do that? You're not trying to deal with just this motion, are you?
I'd like to see the whole dog. We can go ahead and move her.
Right. Well, you're out of order. Out of order. Then let's take care of this motion first. You could postpone the whole thing, but if you would rather deal with this amendment first, it would. If you want to see how it looks when it's
all
done.
Yeah, I'd like to see it actually before I vote on it, because I don't know what's in it. We're saying that was my point, that I think the recommendations by the PC are good and we're on the right track. But again, we just got this at 5 o'clock yesterday that had their recommendations. Now we're on the floor to amend about 15 pages. We need something in front of us that's incorporated. So that was my intent, was to have the motion pending brought back, all the latest and greatest details in there. We'd have something to look at and move on in an orderly fashion.
Okay, well,
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Culver, but I would suggest that we take action and then move to postpone to a date certain for final acceptance of the main motion. But go ahead and accept the amendments.
Assemblymember Arvin, I would too, because you're going to end up with the same mishmash you're looking at right now if you don't deal with this piece of it. Madam Clerk?
Mr. Mayor, I'm trying to think of a way you can be approving amendments to a document and then going back. I guess you can go back and take them out, but it's up to the body. We can provide you the ordinance with all the suggested changes in it so you guys can review it prior to taking action, should it help some members. We can do that.
So what's your plate? Madam Clerk, what's on the floor right now?
The primary amendment the postponement to March 12th, I do believe at 4 p.m., Assemblymember Culver said, which would postpone the entire document along with the amendment.
Is that still your pleasure?
I think I like the clerk's approach that we have the amendment pending. We can see it in writing with all this stuff incorporated. Otherwise, we're going to have to come back and yard out piece by piece stuff we didn't maybe know what was in it because we don't know. Yeah, that would be my intent. An incorporated document up to the latest amendment so we can take off from there, look at it, and button this thing up.
Okay, that's very clear. Is there an objection to that?
I have one question there.
Assemblymember Colligan.
So does that also address, or I want to make sure that we get the left and right hand of the brain here in one piece of the other portion of the housing ordinance at the same time. So before we set a date or whatever, it would be nice to have...
The quality housing?
Mm-hmm.
I think we were given... That would probably come back at the same assembly meeting.
I could clarify that.
If they're meeting on the 25th.
And Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission has a special meeting on the 25th to speak to 17, I think it's 1764. However, I think they postponed action on it till March 4th. At least that's what I was told earlier today. Lauren may be able to clarify it better.
And the motion before us was for March 12th?
March 12th.
Is that a meeting date?
It's a special meeting with the school board at 6, and he's scheduling a new meeting at 4. We got Darcy.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, you know, I understand the need for some members to get their minds around what's happening here. I would just remind everyone my first motion was to get rid of it as an egregious ordinance to begin with. And Representative Halter spoke to me with a calm mind and changed my way of thinking to agree to his postponement to begin with. And now we're at amendment number 4, which I agree with wholeheartedly, but hasn't been addressed. And I would like to know that these amendments in the form that Mr. Culver's recommending that they come back to us, that these 4 amendments are by intent going to be incorporated into that rewrite? Or do we need to act on them? And I'm speaking to the postponement because I'm opposed to the postponement if, in fact, amendment number 4 from Mr. Halter in relationship to my wishes and the Planning Commission's agreement, to which I am in agreement with the Planning Commission. They worked hard with the Planning Department to put together a document that the people that urged me to bring this forward to begin with are comfortable with the exception of one minor tweak in relationship to the density. We're in favor of the density formula as juxtaposed to a blanket statement of 7 units regardless of how big the property is. The density formula works well no matter what property it is. So if we're going to bring forward the finished document with these 4 amendments and that change, then I'm in favor of the postponement. But if not, then I'm not in favor of it, and I'd like to move on these amendments and move on the entire motion.
The clerk will speak to how it will look if we postpone it the way it is right now, because we can't bring back a document that says we have approved our fourth amendment yet, right?
We haven't approved any of them.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, the amendments 1 through 3 that Assemblymember Halter already made in past will be incorporated, and what I can do is take the amendment, the fourth amendment that has Assemblymember or the Planning Commission's recommendations. I can make it very clear that those are the items that are still on the floor for the Assembly to decide on, because it's still it would be a pending motion. So I'll have to make it very clear in the ordinance that comes back to you what is still pending, and I can do that.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, maybe this is not as complicated as it's seemingly sounding. If we take action on the Fourth Amendment, then we still have to take action on the motion as amended. It would be at that time we can postpone to a date certain and take up everything with the changes, additions, deletions, side by side, and take it up at a subsequent meeting.
Assembly Member Arvin, that's exactly what I was trying to do before the clerk accepted Assembly Member Culver's motion to postpone. But right now we've got to deal with the motion to postpone. So if you really want to do that and bring back a halfway clean copy, you need to vote down the motion to postpone. So is there any further discussion? There's no discussion, and there is objection. So, Madam Clerk, do you want to take the vote? And the vote is on the motion to postpone.
On the motion to postpone, Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion to postpone has failed with Assemblymember Woods, Keough, and Culver in support.
Okay. There's before us amendment number 4. Is there any objection to that? I haven't heard any. Assemblymember Salmon?
I would just like to amend it on the comment about the density of 7 units regardless of the size of the parcel. Like Mr. Tilton pointed out, it could be 160 acres, it could be 1 acre, but there is a density formula. So this is more or less a redundancy. The density formula addresses how many, regardless of how large the parcel is, and I would recommend striking the number 5 or 7 or 12 or whichever it ended up being, and merely going with the density formula as presented directly above it.
Okay. Can you give us a page on that?
Well, it's a different page from what the Planning Commission pointed out because
okay,
of this one that we got tonight, but I did find it here.
It's page 68, and according to the manager.
Page 68, is that it?
This is what he's changing. It's not coming forward.
Yes, number 2 gives you the density formula, I believe.
Okay, so your motion is to, this did not pass the assembly, so the planning, so you're moving to insert this.
Well, it passed, but then the one under it passed also, which is more or less a redundancy. The residential constructed density equal to, they changed from 12 to 5, but the part that I like is to determine the density threshold based on lot area, the following equation is used. 0.000125 multiplied by the lot area. That is the Planning Commission's recommendation. But then it's followed in number 2 under it that any development exceeding 7 dwelling units regardless of the lot size. So that defies the density formula if, in fact, you have a large parcel, 80, whatever. If I want to build 100 units, then an acre or 2 acres isn't going to work, but the density formula does.
Okay, there's a secondary amendment, and that is to insert number 3. Number 3 or number 2?
Get rid of number 3.
Well, number 3 is not there.
Hey, what do you mean it's not there?
Because the Planning Commission didn't pass it. They disagreed. So it's not part of the motion.
Okay.
Which one do you want to insert?
Well, I want number 2 inserted to the degree that the density formula is what's used to determine how many housing units can go on a lot.
Okay.
I don't want it to be an arbitrary number.
Okay. Well, we've got it in writing there. So the most secondary amendment is to add recommendation number 3. Does everybody see that? Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah, I think we're getting into the weeds here. It doesn't appear that everybody at the table knows where this is going in. We need this in the document. We can amend it when we take it up next time. But I agree we need to tweak the density, but I'd like to see it in the document. And we debate these densities and how they relate to the smaller and the larger tracts, rather than, pulling stuff out of the table, inserting it right now. We're going to have to come back and visit this anyway. I need it in writing. Thank you. So,
well, if you're looking at page 68, it is in writing.
Right.
So speaking to the motion, Assemblymember Halter.
First of all, I'm not so sure the Planning Commission agreed with what Mr. Salmon's saying. I think you're going to take this to the point where this ordinance is not going to apply to anything. I mean, really, that's the direction it's going, and I think I disagree with that. And I think I agree with Mr. Colbert. I think we need something to... And I'd like to hear back from the Planning Commission on just what they were thinking on that issue, because I'm not... I was thinking they were thinking no, but all of a sudden it's getting pretty confused. But I think if we do what Mr. Salmon says, this ordinance isn't going to apply to anything.
Okay, so you're speaking against the motion, then.
I am.
Let's vote it up or down. I don't see anybody to speak, so Madam Clerk, would you vote? And we're voting on item number 3 on page 68 to add that as an amendment.
That is not number my two. Amendment, sir.
Number 2?
Number 2.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I want to add, to determine the density threshold based on lot area, the following equation is used. It's right under it. That's what I would like to add. That's the only thing that the Planning Commission kicked back that I am arguing for.
Right, okay. We understand. So, Madam Clerk, take the vote.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Salmon in favor.
Okay, you'll get another shot at it if Assemblymember Culver still wants to postpone.
I move to postpone to time certain of March 12th, 4 p.m.
Okay. Gotcha. Wood.
Oh, I'm. You know what? Yeah, I did not do what I wanted to do. Could you wait a minute, Assemblymember Culver?
I withdraw that in a moment.
Okay.
Amendment.
Let's finish amendment number 4.
Right,
that is to accept everything that the Planning Commission said yes to on Assemblymember Solomon's
and
amendment.
Yes with changes.
What's that?
And yes with changes.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, that's all we're inserting is the ones they agreed to. Are we ready for the question? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we now have a document that's going to be fairly clean. Assemblymember Culver?
I move the previous amendment to time certain, postponement, March 12th, 4 p.m.
You moved to postpone time certain? Yeah, okay. Is there objection to that?
I'm going to object.
Mayor?
And I'll call a question on that.
Okay.
Just curious, why early? Why can't we just address it at the regular assembly meeting?
Assemblymember, there's a question, Assemblymember Culver.
That night we have a Planning Commission joint meeting, so really we could do it after that, I suppose. If you remember when we went through the subdivision code, we were able to wade into the sections, get a little bit more explanation, get a little bit more clarity. This is a large, complex ordinance. I think we need to get it right. We should have enough time then to mark it up. Rather than having the public sit and wade through this while we're talking about .01125 and how that applies, I think it would make more sense and we'll get a better product.
Okay, was there a motion to change the date?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I would make a secondary amendment, or an amendment to Mr. Culver's motion to move it to the March 19th meeting. That March 12th meeting is a joint school board meeting, and the 26th is the Assembly Planning Commission. So March 19th might be a better time.
Okay, there's
a...
At the regular meeting, right, on the 26th.
At March 19th.
Oh, March 19th?
Or did he end it at 4 p.m.?
Regular meeting.
Regular meeting. Okay, the motion now is an amendment to the motion to postpone to March 19th, regular meeting. Is there objection?
I'll object.
Okay, there's an objection just for the sake of objection. So...
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
He hasn't voted yet. Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Salmon and Halter opposed. Now primary as amendment.
Okay, now we need the primary amendment as amended, still for March the 19th. Is there objection?
Objection.
Well, we got a new objection. Okay. Madam Clerk?
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Thank you. That finishes our business of public hearings. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we'll come back for audience participation. Okay, that's been a generous 5 minutes. Got quite a few people here that would like to speak to us, so we're going to start with Dennis Hammond, followed by Scott Lyons. And this is audience participation. And the reason I am reading two names at a time is so people can position themselves so we are make the most use of our time.
My name is Dennis Hammond, lifelong resident of Palmer, born and raised here, third generation. When my grandparents came here in 35, with one mission, make a home, grow the valley, expand a community. We've been hunting, fishing, trapping, and recreating up in this part of the world around Jim Creek for quite a while. I really like what you guys have done here, getting proactive with DNR and getting a plan put together for an access point to get into our public use area up there that we have with DNR. Commend you for doing it, looking at it. Planning Commission bought off on this. Butte Community Council's behind it. Trails, parks, people are behind it. Whole lot of people in this room are behind it. So look forward to seeing it get passed. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott, followed by Helen Whittings. Okay, Helen Whittings, followed by Earl Lackey. Is Helen still here? Okay. Earl Lackey, followed by Ron Treasure. You can state your own name for the record when you get up.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, I'm here to speak on the Jim Creek area. You've got the opportunity right now to create a safe, managed area to recreate for the people that are here. And the plan has been put together, it's been gone over and studied, and at this point in time, we have that opportunity to go ahead and pass that plan and move forward with creating that Jim Creek area and making it smooth and better and a good, safe place to recreate where people can put their motor homes and spend the weekend and that sort of stuff without worrying about things getting destroyed and hammered. The other option is to vote it down and go right back to where we've been for the last 5 to 10 years. And we're trashing that place again. And with owning the racetrack next to it, I would really like to see the development progress and actually move into something that's managed and taken care of and looks like something that we have created in the borough instead of destroyed. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron, followed by Craig Saunders.
Evening. My name's Ron Tresham. Just like Gresham, or you only Tresham. I'm here to speak on the ATV park that you folks have putting together. I'm in fully support of it. You will help the ATV riders to have a place to eventually come to and go out without having to run into no trespassing signs or have gates across the road that you can't get into the four-wheeler trails that used to be open to the four-wheelers. If you upgrade it with the parks and recreation, I'm sure they will upgrade the trails, make it a lot safer to ride in. And there is a lot of, I know, miners and stuff that would appreciate having a good, safe path to go back up into the mine and back out. You would be helping a lot of people out and a lot of public people with ATVs. I appreciate your work you've done, and hope we progress on and go ahead with planning it. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Craig, followed by Bill Johnson.
First of all, my name is Craig Saunders, and I represent Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance, a group of over 200 members. Also here representing, speaking on behalf of approximately 30 people that are here in the group tonight that have agreed not to take your time and let me speak for you. If I could have them stand at this time, that's how much time we're going to try and save you tonight. And I'd like to say that I feel a lot better about the clock than having to scare the public with a picture of me up there. And then you add Kenny Barber on there, too. That's kind of scary. But I'd like to encourage you to vote in favor of the adoption of this master plan. It's an excellent plan that was put together by professionals through some very careful research and lots of public meetings. A lot of public input was put into this. It's a great plan that supports all user groups. And so nobody is cut out, and I think it's something that can be a real stellar project for the Mat-Su Borough, something that can bring a lot more economic development to the area, and do it in a safe and sensible way. It needs to be changed. Things need to be cleaned up there, and there needs to be a plan, and this is an excellent opportunity to make that happen. I would hope that we don't just stop with adopting the plan tonight. I would hope that we would continue to find ways to fund the development and implementation of this plan so that we can really have this stellar facility that is on paper right now. And so thank you for your support. I hope you'll vote in favor of it.
Thank you. Bill Johnson, followed by David Bostich, something like that. Okay. Oh, good.
Here. I'd just like to say I'm in favor of that also, that, you know, there's not many places that people in wheelchairs and things like that have harder time driving. It's a lot flatter in places like that. Most of Alaska is walk. I mean, if somebody is lacking on places to walk, they're not looking very far, because it's hard to find a place to go riding that's not straight up or straight down. For people like me that tip over, things like that, Jim Creek has been a wonderful place for me to be able to go back and see part of Alaska. I do agree that I like a plan that makes it a little bit safer, a little bit nicer. But to say to cut out completely of ATVs, I think would be a bad idea. It wouldn't be a fair idea, and I just am totally in agreement with that. And there's a lot of other people that I'm speaking for, too, that can't get out and do other things like other people can. So an ATV is the only way we're going to be able to do it. So thanks.
you. David, followed by Robert Howard.
My name is David Bostwick, and I like the way it's written up, and I hope you guys vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you. So we got Robert, then followed by Tick Ellis.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I'm Robert Howard of Palmer. I'm the chair of the Kinnick River Watershed Group. I've served on the Mat-Su Borough Trails Committee and was a founder of the Mat-Su Trails Council. My family and I have enjoyed the Kinnick watershed since the 70s, including motor and non-motor uses, and have advocated for responsible use since the 1980s. The Kinnick has world-class off-road destinations, but also habitat named critical by both commissioners of Fish and Game and DNR in the mid-80s. We have witnessed myriad important public processes circumvented, many value assessments shelved, and even Mat-Su Borough has failed to stand up for their own processes and plans. History and maps of record have been chipped away by special interests. Habitat is being damaged and enforcement proving inadequate. Fish and Game is concerned. The process shaping management policies in the Kinnick and adjacent Mat-Su Borough lands has been corrupted by deliberate misinformation campaigns of record by vocal and organized motor advocacy groups and their installed support system. Associated records are not going away. We have learned to save them, the veracity being easily secured. Even the naming of the plan for one special interest group reveals a biased process. Before moving ahead on planning for the Jim Creek parcel, Mat-Su Borough must understand the outcome of the recent KURPA Superior Court case in which conservationists have secured a 50% win. The same folks now pushing for control of this parcel who claimed wins in the KRPUA will now find that the trails management process was errant. The court has ruled no trails were to be exempt. This directly affects the status of historic non-motor accesses, including the equestrian-funded Envy Trail, which now needs return to its historic use. This assembly has the opportunity to turn towards an equitable process by not approving this resolution. Please renew respect for all users, residents, and the habitat. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Austin Helmers, Mat-Su Borough's most decorated trails advocate. There are at least 17 types of recreational user groups that could find visiting the area a rewarding experience, given appropriate consideration for the habitats. However, the current trend, dominated by only a couple of user groups, is rapidly destroying and permanently the experience for all others. Thank you.
Thank you. Good timing. So, Tick Ellis, followed by John, looks like Sear, something like that. Is Mr. Ellis here? Don't see him. What about John? Let's see him. Jeff Tuttle? Wow. Jacob Graham? Okay. Sometimes people realize they signed on the wrong sheet of paper. Israel Warren? Daryl Dreyer. Yeah, I see him. And then following him is Mark Simpson.
My name is Daryl Dreyer. I'm here on behalf of the Butte Community Council tonight. I'm president of the council. The council has empowered me to ask you to let this resolution go through as written. We've had many public meetings. Everyone had ample opportunity to address this. It was passed on by the Trail Advisory. It was passed on by the Planning Commission. We ask that you now pass it on, and we have this instituted and have it go forward. The group that opposes this parcel are largely comprised of former Butte Community Council members that did not have the community's interest at heart and were about to be removed. In conclusion, you can please some of the people some of the time, but there's no pleasing or compromising with some. We're not happy with the way everything came out in the council either, but we accept the document as written and believe that it is a good document and should go forward as it is. If there was any indication of a problem with this, it certainly could have been brought before the community council at any time. We have open meetings and we have a free system as you do. People are allowed to come and vote on their opinion, and I believe that's what makes America great. The resounding majority voted to have this pass. I thank you for your time and the time that you spent on this. It's a good document, and the community appreciates it, and your time. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Daryl. Is Mark here? Mark Simpson. Yeah. Followed by Patty Rosnell.
Hi, I'm Mark Simpson, and I live on the Kinnick River right across from the borough Jim Creek land. And there are a couple things that I haven't heard considered at all, which are going to be very important, which are fees and regulations to maintain this park, and who are paying the fees, and who is regulating it, and how is it going to be maintained. And anything I know about ATV clubs and that is regulations and fees are one thing they don't want. And this parcel of land is nothing but regulated and fees to maintain itself. If it's not going to be paid for by fees, it's going to be paid for by property taxes. And I don't want my property taxes going into someone's playground. And I don't know how many others do either. And how about the liability? It's borough land. It's going to be borough managed and borough operated. The liability falls on your shoulders when someone breaks their neck or snaps their back. And who's going to be sued? The landowner, the manager, and the owner of that property, which is Matsu Borough. And I've heard nothing about that. And who's going to be paying the attendant out there to collect the fees? And has that been addressed? And that's 24 hours a day. And another reason I can see this falling flat in about 3 to 5 years, a lot of the motorists out there will realize 5 minutes away off this property is 25 miles of open Kinnick River, which is free and unregulated. So why stop at a place to where you'll have to pay fees and be motorizing under regulation when 5 minutes away you got the whole riverbed to play in without any regulation? So I can see this falling flat in 5 years, and if you're thinking this is an income investment, when those fees fall flat, you're going to be in the hole like the ferry is for Cook Inlet on this parcel. And the best thing you could do is sell it to a private entrepreneur and have it privately run and operated, and they can make some money off of it.
Thank you. Patricia, followed by Radina Garland, something like that.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, staff. My name, as you may know, is Patricia Rosnell. I wish to speak on Resolution 13-015, the Jim Creek Motorized Master Plan, in the consent agenda not otherwise subject to public comment. The motorized park into which the Jim Creek Master Plan has morphed invites outsiders into the borough at risk, cost, and personal distress for the Butte and greater borough community. From the point at which Mr. Arvin proposed the motorized designation, public process has been directed toward that end, but little more. Mr. Arvin, staff, and consultants have all failed to address the costs of development, implementation, repair, reconstruction, and possible resulting litigation, as Mr. Simpson has just spoken to, and they have failed to estimate related amounts and especially funding sources. There is no projection of anticipated revenues. Should we indeed expect a proposal for a publicly funded piggy bank to finance private profits during activity startup? In fact, why is this not more appropriately a speculative venture for private enterprise rather than a risk with public funds, particularly at this critical interlude, bulging with unaddressed policy and financial issues such as our ongoing ownership of the ferry, chronic floods and erosion, sewage and wastewater, subdivisions, energy, tall towers, substandard standards, diluted ethics, and all these complicated by consistent economic and population growth, which we do not need to encourage since the February Alaska economic trends assures us that we've got it and will continue to have it, tops in the state, for a considerable time. Rather than putting the apparently forbidden concepts of zoning and police powers on the assembly agenda, why do we self-named conservatives look immediately to strained state and federal governments for assistance? If we do not grow our thoughts and discussions to meet too long ignored existing infrastructure needs, assembly dreams of future bridges, town sites, and bustling docks will go for naught. Please leave the Jim Creek Master Plan to the community whose it is and help make the borough the community of choice that you say we are. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Radhika here? And then followed by Bill Tilton.
Hey.
Berkeley Tilton, yeah.
Good evening. My name is Radhika Garland, and I'm not a former community council member, but I do live in the Butte, and I just would like to read the asset management plan from the borough because it includes land in the Butte. It says, asset management plans articulate community values and long-term goals and in this way ensure that land and resource development, use, and management decisions occur in a way that will benefit those they most affect, the local community and its residents. And as a Butte resident, I'd like to just say one thing, which is a motorized attraction park doesn't belong in Jim Creek. There are plenty of great places for one in the valley, and I believe that it should be available, but Jim Creek is the wrong place for it, and there are probably places better suited. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tilton? I think he signed the wrong piece of paper. Okay, that's all that signed up. Does anybody else want to speak? Well, don't all stand up at the same time. First come, first serve. State your name for the record.
I'm Alice Culhane. I live actually over in the Buffalo Mine area, and I'm speaking to the issue of the Jim Creek, the motorized Jim Creek management plan. You might ask yourself, why am I, who live over in Buffalo Mine, concerned about something in the Butte? And the answer is actually that we're all very connected. I was a lead planner on our comp plan, which was quashed by Brian Endel, who is now wanting to be on the Planning Commission, but has shown no evidence of being in support of anything. We don't have even a community council to speak of, which relates to this, in that I, as a silent sport user, can't do much in my own area, and it's looking less like I can do anything over there. It's true, the naming of this document reveals a biased process. The motorized master plan. Come on, you guys. Silent sport users are getting the short end of the stick on this one. And it's a given. When you make a trail multi-use and you open it up to ATV users, you do increase the likelihood of liability issues. Now, if, say, speaking as an equestrian user, if you have somebody on a horse, there's that direct impact of ATV users. But there's also problems with the degradation of the landscape, and it's not too much fun to have your horse go knee down in a bog that's been created by an ATVer. And that is presumably the case with the Envy Trail. And I talked to about 15 equestrian people last night. I said, no, we're not going on there anymore. It's trashed. So what you're doing here is you're catering to a group of thugs. This is what Alaska Access is, okay?
Please.
These are
okay.
People who at our state fair are auctioning off sniper rifles. Are those the kind of people that are these the kind of people that you want to be involved in using the land, which will be exclusively for themselves in a certain amount of time because the majority is not always right. And this is an instance where you have the voices of a few dominant people attempting to dictate what is for them and not for the rest of us. So thank you very much for your time, and I do hope you'll reconsider this plan, which is seriously flawed and does not really go with the asset management plan as was originally laid out. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to remind everybody, whether you agree or not, let's respect everybody. People are free here to pretty much say what they want in this 3 minutes. And it's an American right. But I think the meeting will go a lot better if we keep the background noise down. And I would like to remind everybody that this is not just about Jim Creek. This 3 minutes is for anything under the sun that's not otherwise obscene or illegal. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Patty Barber, and I'm a board member of the Butte Community Council. But I'm not speaking for the council. Thank you for allowing me to speak on the Jim Creek Motorized Master Plan. I support the plan as written by the public and USKH. Originally, the Butte Community Council worked with past Mat-Su Borough Assembly member Lynn Woods and Senator Charlie Huggins to put in place a restroom facility in the parking lot on Sullivan Road. Money was appropriated and a building was purchased. In the middle of the process, mention was made that a master plan needed to be in place before any improvements could be made to the parking lot. The parcel has needed a facility for many years, and this was the only improvement the Butte Community Council was going to use to address this problem. And now I'd like to read from the Butte Area Asset Management Plan. Site 1A, Public Recreation, is in the plan. It's been in there since 2007. The primary area should be developed for motorized recreation off-road vehicle, including local off-road motorized vehicle training and learning area, as well as a regional access point to the Kinnick River and Kinnick Glacier. And then under the management guideline and actions, the borough will develop the site using the following guidelines. Develop cooperative agreement partnerships with DNR and Mental Health Land Trust. Develop amenities at access points and funnel use through these points for multi-use trails. Provide an on-site volunteer caretaker or long-term visitor center to reduce vandalism and lawless behavior. Develop a master plan for the designation of trails and the development of permanent facilities. Reserve an area adjacent to the entry and parking lot area to promote private-public partnership opportunities. Identify public-private partnership with local user groups and motorized off-road group clubs and service providers to assist in management of the area. And this parcel is also multi-use. It's not just motorized. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mike Coons, I'm from Palmer. I really wasn't going to speak on this, but I've been compelled to. I am one of those thugs that have an ATV. I bought my ATV 4 years ago. It's the first ATV I've ever owned. I've done Jim Creek. I've gone to a lot of places, having a ball with it. I'm responsible, and I'm a responsible gun owner, too. I have sniper rifles. So anytime an organization calls themselves a conservation group and they talk against resource management, like what we're talking here, it's more like an environmentalist outfit. So let's call it like a spade a spade, either environmentalist or a conservationist. I'm a conservationist. I was a conservationist when I was a kid. I know what it means. So I'm for this all the way. The last couple things, thinking about it. Is the comment about liability. I was a paramedic with the Butte and Matt Zubrill for a lot of years. I can't count the number of times we've gone out to Jim Creek on broken legs, on concussions. People have fallen off ATVs, having all sorts of troubles. We've even gone out on some gunshot wounds over the years. So I never heard that Matt Zubrill got sued over that. So it's still borough land, so why would that be a problem? And then the comment about, well, this is now opening it up to outsiders. Have you noticed? It's a lot of outsiders to come there and recreate. And we got ATVs out to Kazoo. And the last thing is, and I really appreciate what you guys have been doing over the years, one of the biggest problems we had out there was punks from Anchorage stealing cars, bringing them out there, and burning them. I can't count the number of times I've gone out there as a firefighter paramedic putting out fires because of some jerk stealing cars and taking it out there. And then the Hulk sits there for God knows many years. So I'm fully behind what you're doing. And lastly, on a separate note, I would like to see you guys approve a resolution to the state legislature to pass House Bill 24, House Bill 55, and House Bill 69. Thank you.
Did you get that, Mr. Manager?
I got two of the three. Oh.
That was 24, 55,
69.
And 69.
Okay. Excuse me. My name is Pat O'Connor. I've started to use in that area in probably the late 40s with motorized vehicles, weasels and swamp buggies. I live adjoining this land. I listen to the rifle shooting going on every day. In fact, I think I proposed that we have a range out there along the mountain rather than all over the river bar. And I listen to it. It doesn't bother me. You know, people are enjoying themselves. At least they aren't shooting through my signs in my yard. So, yes, I support this. And I heard the comments about where's the money coming from to support this? Well, I've run four-wheelers, I run boats, and snow machines. I pay every year for a tax on them, through fuel, and most of my tags for these machines are good for a couple years. So, but every couple years, I have to shell out. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with if they have a charge fee to use that area. So I would hope that you people support this program because I've sat through a lot of meetings with a lot of very educated people in these community meetings down there at the Butte. And there's been a lot of thought put in this. I hope, again, thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for being here so long. Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Janine Erickson. I'm also on the Butte Community Council Board. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'd like to remind you that we could have spoken one at a time and took up a lot of the monopolize the proceedings. Instead, we found a way to conserve the Assembly's time. We hope you recognize the overwhelming support here tonight for this resolution. This plan was written and prepared as a plan for the next 20 years. It's the beginning of a process of development for the area. When I visit the Kenai Borough or the Big Lake Recreation Area or any other area in the state of Alaska, for God forbid, if I should find myself in an emergency situation, I would expect to be given the same emergency services and care paid for by the Kenai taxpayers or the Big Lake taxpayers, just as I would expect that being a taxpayer in the Butte, that money would go to save somebody out in Jim Creek area if something terrible would happen to them while they were there having a good time. Jim Creek has been notoriously used as a multiple-use area. It's best suited for recreating. I applaud you for naming the document the Jim Creek Motorized Master Plan, thereby protecting the motorized users who have been consistently squeezed out in many other areas of the state by non-motorized groups. I would like to add that all we really asked for out there was bathrooms. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hello, my name is Julia Plotnick. I'd like to tie this current discussion into something that came up at the last combined Borough Assembly and City Council meeting, where we talked about attracting more tourists and bed tax money to the Matanuska Valley. And the Matanuska Valley is a beautiful place, and I think we need to keep it that way if we want to attract more people here. I'd like to speak to the issue of multi-use and tie that into this discussion. No matter how this vote on this resolution goes tonight, the area is going to be multi-use, and I'd like to discuss that. Multi-use to me means that many people go there for different types of recreation, but they respect each other's form of recreation and don't impinge on other people's form of recreation. And I think no matter what happens to that area, I'd like to speak to the Assembly and especially the audience and the entire community of the Matanuska Valley that we need to respect each other's use, which means that we need to not impinge on other people's enjoyment. For example, I went out there on Saturday to the Kinnick area to ride my bike to be in the quiet, and there were many people shooting out there. That's an impingement on my use. While I respect that people with guns want to shoot and practice, it's so loud there because it radiates against those rock walls that you could just hear gunshots the entire time I was out there. That's an impingement. When trails are soft, which they're going to be a lot of times in a wetland area, and people go out there with vehicles, I understand people enjoy riding vehicles, but when they go out in soft land, they make tremendous ruts, which then harden and then make it difficult for other people like walkers and bikers and horse riders to go out there. So that's an impingement. That's a conflict of use. So if we're going to make a place multi-use, we have to respect that as a community and hold back on doing things that might impinge on another person's enjoyment. And I'd also like to speak to trails. I've done a lot of training on trail building, and I've done a lot of trail work, and there's a concept of sustainable trails. Sustainable trails are trails that are built to sustain the use of everybody that is supposed to be using that area. So if an area is just a soft mud trail, that trail is not designed for large vehicles. I encourage the motorized vehicle users to spend more time and money making trails sustainable, which means that they don't form ruts so that they don't ruin the trail for other users. That way everybody can enjoy their time out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we give you choice here. We're ready for the clock.
Fantastic. And I'm not going to speak about Jim Creek. For the record, my name is Randy Deller, and the first thing I'd like to address tonight, I'd like to thank the mayor and Ms. McKechnie for a recent certificate of appreciation for the 3 years that I was given the opportunity to serve on the school site selection committee. So thank you very much for that. It was a fantastic experience for me to be involved in the community. I've been involved in a number of different things privately throughout my neighborhood. But the 3 years spent on the school site selection committee was an opportunity for me to broaden my horizons to be involved on a much larger level, and I appreciated the experience. I'd like to give special thanks to the clerk's office. During my brief tenure as chair of that committee, during my last year on the committee, they were an invaluable help And I'd also like to give special thanks and appreciation to Joe Welliver from the planning department, who just provides an immeasurable amount of support for the school site selection committee. And I hope everybody really recognizes the level of effort that he puts into in support of that of that committee. Coming to the meeting tonight, I'm also going to speak, if I have time left, on another issue, and I may not. I was surprised to see the item agenda 021 regarding the South Palmer site in the language in which it was presented. Unfortunately, the demands of my job didn't make it possible for me to give the level of commitment to the committee that I thought was worthy. And so I withdrew as the chair of that committee, and then my 3 years was up. I would have liked to have seen more transparent language on the agenda tonight indicating what that was about. I've been out of touch, I'll admit. But just somebody walking in, I looked at the agenda and came to speak on another issue, but it wasn't clear. But one thing I would like to point out is the results and where we are with that. And by the way, Mr. Mayor, I commend you for pulling that from the agenda tonight with what was revealed through the public process. And that's one thing that the school site selection committee, it's an integral part of our public process when it comes to selecting school sites in our community. And that issue is a supreme example of it. We had a site that previously had been considered, but it went through the complete public process again and was vetted. And the public testimony you heard tonight was a result of that. So you can thank the fact that we have a public process like that with the school site selection committee. And I'd just like to respond briefly with the time I have left. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to adjust my roads issue. I'd like to respond respectfully to Mr. Culligan, and I don't think you really intended to cast the committee in somewhat of a dysfunctional light, but you did make a comment. You said that maybe members of the assembly shouldn't even be on it. And I don't say this with any disrespect, but one of the things in my tenure as a community member at large on the committee, a frustration I had, was the process was hampered by politics. Maybe the process would be better served where there wasn't representation from the assembly, with all due respect, because you folks make the final decision based on the information as it's evaluated by other people who are given that responsibility, the school board, the planning commission. Maybe there should be another community member at large, just not just one. And I've run over my time. I thank you very much. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to serve.
And thank you. It's pretty rare that we get somebody come back and say thank you.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Graywolf, and I'm a resident of the Butte area. I'm standing here to state my opposition to the Jim Creek motorized master plan. It is an unbalanced plan favoring a few user groups at the expense of all others. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My name's Kathy Hummel. I live in the Butte. I've heard some testimony from different people up here, and some of it's true, some of it's slightly true, but I just want to say that there really has not been very much representation of the people in the Butte, because most of the time when you go to a meeting, there isn't one. So I've tried to attend to several Butte Community Council meetings and just shown up at a dark building with no notice there was no meeting to express my concerns. The biggest problem that this plan has with me is because I've worked with plans. I've done lots of plans. I've worked on cleanup plans and emergency response plans, spill plans, you know, development plans, plan. And all plans have to have input from all the sources that are affected. So when you look at something going out in Jim Creek, you would say, well, what are all the people that are affected by what goes on out here? And the only people we have input from are all the people who like to wheel, and then the few of us that are a little concerned about being wheeled over. We didn't get input from other entities that spend quite a lot of time out there. The troopers, both the Alaska Wildlife Troopers and Department of Public Safety, right now spend inordinate amounts of their time out there with alcohol-related, gun-related, and ATV-related problems along with poaching. So when you see the fact that over the last 10 years, you've expanded the borough, yet we've dropped our trooper coverage from one trooper for every 1,000 to one trooper for every 1,500, then in the summer you introduce 3,000 to 5,000 campers that are unrestricted with guns, alcohol, and equipment, you know, machinery, alcohol, guns, alcohol, motorized, and guns, somehow bringing chips to this party isn't helping. But we have no input from troopers that suggests there's just an escalating problem out there with crime, generally alcohol-related. The next one we had no input from was EMS. I did a little research just on the six-month period between March and August of this last year, and it looked like 50% of the EMS call-outs were to Jim Creek. But we didn't get any input from them on whether this is exhausting their budget or possibly putting the citizens at risk, because we wouldn't have access to our fireman if he's out there. And that kind of concerns me, too, from a legal perspective, that is our fire department truly equipped for doing off-road extrications of that nature? Lastly, we didn't get any input from an entity called the Department of Human Health Services, and I thought I would share with you what they told me. A 460% increase in youth spinal injuries and a 260% increase in brain traumas in the last 10 years nationally, all related to ATVs, but they were not able to get me any Alaska numbers in time for this quick, we're going to have it today meeting.
Thank you.
I'm Kevin Sorensen, and I just want to take a minute to say a little bit about the school site that I own, or school site that's being proposed that I own. I think the first thing is, I'd help you sort out what is to be looked at and what isn't. And what this really is, it's a site, a piece of land, and it's a school need. And that's what you look at. I may be a desperate man, as some have said. And that's irrelevant. I may make a lot of money out of it. I may lose money on it. And all that is irrelevant. Let me just tell you a little, maybe the story real quick. Jim Culver was working on the extension of the sewer main. And he told me, he says, they're going to put out an RFP for the school site. And you should put your site forward. So I did. And it went forward. It was scored. There was a radius that was prepared. It was right in the middle of the radius that somebody else prepared. I didn't prepare it. And the site selection committee recommended that the borough negotiate buying it. It went to the assembly. The assembly made a resolution that the manager negotiate to purchase it. Well, the management would never negotiate. Now, regardless of what you've heard, the borough has never offered me anything. And the last offer I made before the assembly acted was for $525,000. It had city water. I would bring in the city water at my expense. There'd be city sewer, three-phase power, gas, phone. And that site has almost a half a mile of access on either Inner Springer or Outer Springer. Well, think about what you've paid for some of your school sites, and think about what a bad deal that is. Now, mind you, that wasn't the whole 32 acres that we're talking about, the whole property. But let me just make clear. The previous management never negotiated with me after the assembly gave them those instructions. In fact, they deliberately misled the assembly, and I can document it. I've documented it, and I've given it to the borough before. And if you want that documentation, I can provide it. So any of these things that you want that you doubt that I say, ask me to document, and I'll provide you the documentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I should make a clarification on Assemblymember Woods. He asked me to make a ruling, and that's what I did. He didn't make a ruling himself. Anybody else want to speak?
Hi. Sorry to bother you again. Larry, you're absolutely right. We don't say thank you very much.
Yeah, you do need to say your name, even if you're going to say
something
good. I'm sorry.
Michael Miller. I live in Palmer, Alaska. And I want to say thank you to Noel Woods for making the decision. I don't know if that was easy or not, but I really appreciate it. And thank you to Larry for bringing that forward. Have a good night.
Thank you. Are we done? Okay, we're going to close the audience participation and bring it back to the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, would you... Is anybody going to pull anything else? I don't see any excitement, so...
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin?
13-014.
What number is that?
Well, it's letter C.
Okay. Oh, the manager just wilted here. Okay. Okay. So, we've got everything but C, D, and F. Madam Clerk.
Resolution CR number 13-012, a resolution in support of the land acquisition, planning, design, construction, and financing of the Matsu Valley Gateway Visitor Center. Resolution serial number 13016, a resolution supporting the City of Wasilla's 2014 Capital Improvement Program. AM number 13014, approval of road service area, road improvements, road maintenance, and repair capital project list summer 2013. AM number 13023, approval of contract amendment number 2 to GDM Incorporated in the amount of $29,870.39 for design and construction administration services to include hazardous abatement design to replace gym flooring at 5 elementary schools. AM number 13024, award of bid number 13068B to Western Construction and Equipment LLC in the contract amount of $216,142.25 for Tamar Road improvements. AM number 13025, approval for utility relocation cost to NSTAR Natural Gas Company in amount of $102,659.92. For Lanark and Brockton Drive Utility Relocate and Upgrade Project, Project Number 30048.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
And there shouldn't be any objection. I don't hear any. So that brings us to Resolution 1314. And Assemblymember... Madam Clerk, you want to read it, please?
A resolution approving the financial responsibility for the MV Susitna for March 2013.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve resolution serial number 13-014.
Does anybody want to say anything?
Yes, I do.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you very much. I will continue to pull this off the consent agenda and vote against spending additional money for as long as it's on the consent agenda.
I think we understand that. Assemblymember Colligan.
Same. I was wondering if the manager, I thought we funded this through March, but maybe we, in January, approved January and February. If the manager would make a comment, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, Mr. Manager, are you telling us that you won't have it sold by March?
Yes, I'm telling you it will not be sold by March, but I'm hoping it will be sold by April. At the last meeting, you funded January and February, and I got the message loud and clear. My problem is, what do I do with no funding? So I want to make sure that I put this on the agenda before we accrue. Mark Von Doggen is here to talk about any expenses, but we have the boat out for a sealed bid that is due March 29th. We also have sent out probably notifications to probably close to 1,000 different government agencies for use of the boat. In addition, we have just received word yesterday that the Alaska Marine Highway System is going to do a white paper and take another look at using this boat in the service. So we are hoping and praying and wishing that Mr. Arvin doesn't have to get upset anymore about the ferry. Also, too, we really want to find a good home for us.
Assemblymember Keel.
Thanks. I think it goes without saying that there's not a single assemblyman sitting around the table that is happy with this asset that we've had that's now turned into a liability to the tune of $80,000 or $90,000 a month. But I suggest that we not cut off our nose to spite our face. So what's going to happen if we vote not to continue funding on a monthly basis the costs of insurance and mortgage and security and crew and maintenance and all these other costs? We're going to have this multi-million dollar vessel that will become perhaps worthless or acquired by someone else, or I'm not sure what. Perhaps the manager could give us a scenario if we don't continue to fund this on a month-to-month basis until we sell it. So, and I guess I would ask the manager's opinion. If we don't fund this, would we be mildly stupid, moderately stupid, or extraordinarily stupid?
Mr. Manager, we might not want to use the word stupid, but...
I want to call a question. Let's vote on this.
Okay, the question's been called for to close debate. Is there objection to that? There's no objection, so Mr. Manager, you're off the hook. Madam Clerk, there has been objection, so would you take the roll call?
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Halter, Keough, and Salmon in support.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I move to reconsider.
You may. Is there objection to reconsidering? Well, okay, so we vote on the motion to reconsider. Madam Clerk, give us clear directions. Yes means what?
I don't know if you got any objection to reconsider it. I didn't hear it.
I got a call for the question, and I assumed that was the question on whether to reconsider. Is there objection to reconsidering? There's no objection. So, Assemblymember Arvin, it's back for reconsideration.
And I'll call the question, but before I do that, I guess I want to say that this has been a long time coming, and the votes have been, there's been votes being picked up every time this comes, and I am not for, although I really do appreciate Mr. Keough pointing out the obvious, I'm not interested in having any additional problems with that ferry, but this should send a clear message to the administration that the body's done dilly-dallying around, and the administration needs to do something to get rid of this asset. It needs to happen. And with that, I'll call the question.
Okay, the question's been called for. I can assure you the manager is working very hard on this. I know, because I talk to him every morning. So, the question is, once again, to vote on the simple motion for funding through March. Madam Clerk, is there objection? We unanimously approved it. Thank you. We are now to Resolution 13-017.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, 015, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we were done with that.
A resolution adopting the Jim Creek Motorized Master Plan.
Okay, Assemblymember Keough pulled that.
I move to adopt resolution serial number 13-015, please. And I'd like to speak to that.
You may.
First of all, thanks to everyone here who has given up a Tuesday evening to once again speak to this issue of the master plan for the Jim Creek area. This has been, I have to say, in District 1, this is where Jim Creek lies in District 1. There are two issues in District 1 that have been extraordinarily divisive amongst communities. Coal, whether or not to develop it, is one issue in the Matanuska Valley. In the Kinnick River region, it's the Jim Creek parcel. And it's, frankly, it saddens me to see how divisive it has been in the community and how, in some instances, folks on both sides of the issue have been at times less than respectful to others who share a very different opinion on how this plan should take shape and what kind of future development there might be on this Jim Creek parcel. I'd like to address a couple of issues before I make I'd like to make three friendly amendments to this. And by the way, it shouldn't be lost on anybody here that this master plan is going to pass. There hasn't been any doubt that it would pass. So, and it's going to pass this evening. But I think we need to talk about it a little bit, and I would like to offer three friendly amendments before we're finished. One has to do with the issue of liability that was raised by one of the 20 people who spoke to this. I can't recall who that was. But as a matter of fact, as this site is developed for ATV use, especially the mud bog and the training ground and so on, there will be an increased liability. I think there's no doubt about that. And the borough is going to have to incur the cost of insurance to cover that liability. I would like to say too that we've had a large number, an overwhelming number of people here this evening that speak or stand in support of this. There are also a fair amount of people who have spoken against it, and if you look at the number of respondents who have commented on this plan, it's a pretty close split in the community, in my opinion. If you look at the results, the issue is raised of habitat, and that's certainly what's happened. Sometimes we love a place to death, and the increased use of ATVs up and down the Kinnick River outside of the Jim Creek parcel, especially in the Kinnick River public use area, has in many places has resulted in a large number of trails that didn't used to be there are now, and there are impacts on streams, anadromous waters, the salmon streams in the Kinnick River drainage, and that's happening. It's been documented by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and there are efforts underway to mitigate some of those the damage that's been done to these streams. And I think it's pretty easy to predict what's going to happen, and that is that this site will be a magnet for not only local community users that like to four-wheel and like to access the Kinnick River, but it's going to bring in people from other parts of the valley, and it's, as this site develops, it's going to bring in a whole lot of people from the Anchorage area as well. So there are going to be a lot of impacts. What else do I want to say? There has never been any doubt. This master plan, there's been some aspersions or blame spread around for why this plan comes about. But one, this plan was funded. The push for this comes about from the Butte Asset Area Management Plan of several years ago that says that there would be a master plan for this area. And that's why we're here. I think Assemblymember Arvin was accused of being the guy pushing it, but I'm the one with, I think, support of various groups that said, you know, we really do have to have a master plan. It's here, and it was supposed to happen a year or so ago, so it's been a year late arriving. So That's a short bit of the history.
Assemblymember Keel, could you bring your amendments, please?
I could, and I will. It's just that there's much to say on an issue that's caused this much controversy. But so I will bring the first amendment, and I would ask fellow assembly members to consider. I think there's a copy of two of the three of them in your packet. And the first one is I move to amend resolution serial number 13-015, page 464 of the packet, page 3 of the resolution, by inserting the following "be it further resolved" clause. Be it further resolved that in conformance with standard borough park rules and practice, no discharge of firearm shall be allowed in the Jim Creek parcel, and add that language to the plan on page 450 of the packet. And I would like to speak to that very briefly.
You may.
The Butte Asset Management Plan is much about public safety. Public safety, security, and maintenance of the quality of adjoining neighborhoods shall be included as primary concerns of any development plan for the area. And a couple of people spoke to this, Mr. Lackey and a couple of others, about the need to have a safe area and clean it up from what it has been over the last many years, and it's slowly been getting better. Gunfire, weapons discharge has been a common problem. So I would like to insert this into the resolution and the plan to ensure that in this area, it's a by no means any restriction on carrying firearms, but this is not a place where firearms should be discharged. So that's my amendment.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Solomon?
Is it not a redundancy to reinsert it when it says in conformance with standard borough park rules and practice, such as discharge of firearms is already not allowed within borough park rules and practices?
Assemblymember Keel.
This area is not yet a park. I just like to get in front of it.
Okay. Assemblymember Colligan.
I'll speak in support of that, oddly enough, mainly because I think we need to move forward with a couple dedicated gun ranges and make this kind of a non-issue. I think that's fair.
Okay. Is there objection?
I object.
Okay. Assemblymember Keel.
Just a follow-up comment in regard to Assemblymember Colligan's comment regarding gun ranges. Most people aren't aware, but in the governor's budget, there is a $200,000 line item for the construction and development of a firing range somewhere in the Knick River public use area. So that will be happening sometime soon.
So, Madam Clerk, there's been objection. The motion is whether to insert language for no firearm discharge in the Jim Creek parcel.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the amendment passed with Assemblymember Woods, Solomon, and Arvin opposed.
Okay. Assemblymember Keel.
Second amendment. I move to amend resolution serial number 13-015, page 464 of the packet, page 3 of the resolution, by inserting the following "be it further resolved" clause. Be it further resolved that in conformance with standard borough park rules and practice, no alcohol shall be allowed in the Jim Creek parcel. And add that language to the plan on page 450 of the packet.
Okay. Discussion. Assemblymember Culligan.
I speak against this. I although I can see where it's going, the reality is this is people drinking and driving or whatever is a different issue, not under our purview, and if people are going to be out there camping or whatever, I just don't think it's applicable. Thanks.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I'd like to know who Assemblymember Keough presumes is going to enforce that, and with those that are carrying firearms but not shooting them, if you're getting somebody's way that's been drinking, I wouldn't want to be the one that tells them that they're going to have to leave the area. So who's going to enforce that?
Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah, this is kind of a bit beyond our enforcement authority or ability to enforce. And I just think we'll leave that to the troopers. I did support the public safety issue on the guns because we're going to have a lot of people out there. It's going to be popular. And we want to try to, I think, develop these ranges so that we have designated spots and we don't have a safety issue. So I don't know if this one we want to get into that without having any enforcement authority.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, this is not much different than the way we manage other lands that have been designated as parks that are, my understanding, uniformly have a prohibition against alcohol. And so what happens in these areas that the borough owns and manages is that the appropriate law enforcement agency is called if there's a problem. So, for instance, in the borough-owned Matanuska River Park that's within the city limits of Palmer, if there's a problem that's alcohol-related, the Palmer police are called. If it's an area outside of a city jurisdiction, as this would be, then the state troopers would be called. And so I say this as somebody, I like to drink beer, a lot of beer. I like to drink rum. I have an ATV. I own snow machines. But I'm saying in the case of the Jim Creek parcel, it's I think we're better served by not having alcohol or firearms.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Well, I'm confused because on the previous amendment, I was informed that this is not a borough park, and such as if that reasoning got the First Amendment passed because it's not a redundancy, then why would we use that same argument in this amendment? Because it's, as far as I know, unless action's been taken, it's still not a park.
Thanks for your observation, Assemblymember Halter.
Well, this issue we've been, I think the state's been kind of dealing with it up in Willow and the Willow Rec area, you know, with alcohol and people out fishing and you know, it all comes down to enforcement. I mean, sooner or later we're going to have to probably provide more money for enforcement, but just to say blatantly no alcohol, I just, you know, I think that I saw the petition up in Willow, there were something like 600 names on it which were saying they didn't want to go that route. It just, it sounds good, but it just isn't going to work. And I think I kind of agree with Mr. Cover on the gun issue, but on this one, I don't think I'm going to go that direction.
Are we ready for the question? Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Solitary, yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Absolutely no.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Keogh in favor.
Thank you. Now we're to the main motion as amended. Assemblymember Keogh.
I have one more amendment, as I stated earlier.
Read it.
Do we have it?
No, I'll make it orally.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, batting 500 here. My last amendment is to strike the term motorized from the master plan, and I would like to speak to that.
You may. We voted on that once, but you can vote again.
We voted on it twice.
Yeah.
So, but now we have a plan to look at, and it is obviously a heavy emphasis on motorized use. That was predetermined by the Butte Area Asset Management Plan. But it is more than a motorized plan. This plan also includes multiple use trails. It includes non-motorized trails. The large preponderance of it is motorized, but words are important, and the choice of words that we use are important as well. So when we I have to say when we first began this process, when I brought it forward and introduced it for the master plan, motorized was not in the title, and I think it's inappropriate to have it there. It's inaccurate. Granted, I mean, I'm the first to admit that the emphasis in this park is motorized, and that's the way it was predetermined by our asset management plan. That's the way we were going all along. But it's more than that. So to call it a motorized master plan is not accurate, and it's I have to say, when we changed that we threw a can of gas on a smoldering fire. So whatever limited common ground that we might have had when we started this process some 6 months ago, I think that further sharpened the divisions between people with different interests on this. So again, I would suggest that we strike the term motorized from the title to make it more accurately reflect the plan that it is.
Assembly Member Colligan.
I'll be voting no on this, and it's not as much what Mr. Keogh says. Just not a month ago, we voted on a non-motorized government peak for all the people that have come forward not wanting this to happen. They've come forward wanting multiple millions of dollars for non-motorized cross-country Nordic skiing at Hatcher Pass. And for that same reason, I have no problem listing this as motorized. The people that have come forward in the motorized community are the responsible operators to create family opportunities that will help regulate all the other folks that come out and abuse the opportunity. And I hope that is true for the non-motorized as well. I would like to get on with this for my esteemed colleague who represents District 1 but lives in District 2. Thank you.
Thank you. We have been over this ground, so I'm going to ask the clerk to take the vote.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Keogh in support.
Okay. We have the main motion as amended, and I don't see anybody with hands up. So do we have objections to the main motion as amended? I don't hear any, so that passes. And next in our consent agenda is Resolution 1317. Madam Clerk.
A resolution in support of House Bill Number 40, exempting certain farm food storage and production buildings from taxation.
Assemblymember Woods.
I move to schedule a public hearing on, no, I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 1302.
You can move to schedule it. Oh, I'm sorry. You're on the wrong one. That one right here. Right here.
I move to... schedule a public hearing on Resolution Serial Number 13-017 on February 19th, 2013, and I will like to speak to it.
Okay. You're speaking to setting it for a public hearing.
That's true.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I attended the hearing on it in the committee meeting. I was at the LIO. And before the committee meeting was over and we could look at it, why there was amendments made to that motion. And I think perhaps by the 19th we will have the motion somewhat codified. So I'd like to change this to November 19th for a public hearing.
Okay.
March.
March 19th or
February
19th. Okay. And that will probably be along with a whole lot of other legislation that we're going to be looking at. Yeah. Okay. Is there objection to that? Hearing none. We will look at that on February 19th. Madam Clerk, that's the end of the consent agenda. Do we want to take a little break before we do the introductions?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll come back at 15-2 then.
Lazy Mountain RSA number 19, Matthew Dorickson. Trapper Creek RSA number 30, Joan Medberry.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keogh.
I move to divide the question for all members of the Tall Tower Advisory Commission.
Okay. Is there objection to pulling the Tall Tower? Assemblymember Culligan. It is, yeah.
Can I speak to it?
Well, the motion is to divide. You're either for it or against it.
Okay, so can we just debate whether or not we vote yes or no?
Madam, is this debatable?
Mr. Mayor, it is.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, I would just say, Mr. Mayor, I would like you maybe to reconsider to maybe put, it seemed like it's balanced a little bit on the tower side. If we had Murph or somebody like that on there just to.
No, I'd like you to be debating whether we divide this or not. We're not debating the issue.
That's why I would be supporting division of the question so that we'd get to that question, it would be whether or not we approve
right,
the slate.
Right, you're ahead of the game.
All right.
You support dividing the question.
Thank you.
So, is there objection to dividing the question?
Yes.
Okay, Madam Clerk. Oh, we have was that a point of information
yeah.
or order?
How many members can be on the committee?
Probably 1,000. Well, you'd want 1,001. Yeah.
Five? Five total?
Five total. Two industry and three public.
Okay.
As it is in code right now,
thank
it's
you.
Five.
Thank you.
So, that's Madam Clerk, would you take the vote on whether or not we divide the question?
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion to divide failed with Assemblymember Halter, Keogh, and Culver in support.
Okay, we have before us the vacancy report. Is there objection?
Objection.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh. Object. So, Madam Clerk, would you vote on or take the vote?
Point of order.
What's your point?
We'd like to discuss the confirmations on the board and commission vacancy report.
That's certainly in order.
Thank you. I'm going to vote no for all confirmations since we didn't have an opportunity to divide the question and discuss the issue. The merits of the mayor's nominees for the Tall Tower Advisory Commission. So I'm going to apologize in advance to some of the good members on the Tall Tower Advisory Commission and those folks who are slated for confirmation for a variety of other road service areas, fire service areas, parks and recs, and so on. So, but I am going to vote no against all of them since we haven't had the opportunity to further discuss what I see is a gross imbalance on the Tall Tower Advisory Commission. We have three excellent candidates that have been left behind, and what we have brought forward is a five-member board that's very imbalanced and biased in favor of industry. And we've left behind a former borough attorney, a professional planner who's been impacted by the erection of a tall tower in his neighborhood, and a longtime community council chairman from another community. So there's some good folks in the Tall Tower Commission that are nominated, but the board is extraordinarily unbalanced. So I'll be voting no against all.
Assemblymember Salmon.
I was hoping that possibly Assemblymember Keogh could identify which members of the Tall Tower Advisory Board are the good ones.
Assemblymember Keough has the power to move to deny those if he wants to get, I mean, just because we didn't.
He used the language of the good ones. I'm just curious. I don't know the five players here. I know one of them. But who are the good ones? Which ones should I be looking at with chagrin?
Well, I would take exception, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
If you could, yeah, I'll try to answer his question.
I'll use two examples here. One, I have a friendly relationship with Mr. Ken Clausen, who's very civic-minded and serves on a variety of boards. However, Mr. Clausen, when we created this advisory commission, was the sole member of the public to speak against the regulations that we recently introduced. So, I mean, I like Ken, but I think that's indicative of where his values are. Another person who I frankly would not vote to confirm on any board or commission is Mr. Aaron Downing. There's two.
Assemblymember Keough, you can move to strike those.
Well, just a point of information from the clerk. Procedurally, how does that work?
Assemblymember Keough, me and the mayor and I were just talking about that. Normally on the vacancy report, if you're looking to take somebody separately, you move to divide the question. However, we were just talking about whether you could actually make amendments to it. And just because we've never done it before doesn't mean you can't. It just didn't happen to dawn on me because we usually divide the question.
So you're saying I can move to strike?
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
I move to strike Aaron Downing as a nominee for assembly confirmation for the Tall Tower Advisory Committee.
I didn't hear you mention him as one of the bad guys before, but okay, that's the motion. Very simple. Assemblymember Solomon.
I'd like to know why, please.
I guess
it sounded very personal, Mr. Mayor,
well,
juxtaposed to Mr. Clausen, and Aaron's been a contributor to this community for longer than I've been alive. So I just am curious as to why not only this board, but any board, Mr. Keough would be adverse to having Mr. Downing serve the borough again, as he has many times in the past.
Assemblymember Keough, you may speak, but I'm going to have the attorney stop us if we get into inappropriate language.
I'll go with what Mr. Halter said.
Okay. Probably that is an unnecessary question to answer, and I would agree. Assemblymember Culligan.
Well, I'd like to take the opportunity to speak for Mr. Downing, who I think will be 80 coming this next Sunday, with the first graduate class of University of Alaska Fairbanks in electrical engineering in the state, who has contributed greatly to all sorts of different developments and organizations, from belonging to a native tribe in Fairbanks, all sorts of electrical and power generation in rural Alaska, development in this community, and I would say he is his bedside manner might not be to Mr. Keough's liking, he's probably one of the best resources in this community we have that knows both rural and urban Alaska and has been in the borough forever, and I think he's a great resource and a great asset.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I would speak in support of Aaron Downing as well. I met him when I first moved to the Valley nearly 20 years ago. And actually, I don't know anybody that refers to him as anything other than Grandpa. He is probably one of the most interesting individuals that we have in our community. His civic service, his passion for being involved in things that make a difference in our community, his willingness to be open-minded during discussions, his vigor to stand strong when he believes in something. Those are the kinds of people that I think we should be looking for. So I would support Aaron Downing staying on.
Are we ready, Assemblymember Keel?
Well, I wasn't going to speak to this at all, but since Mr. Colligan and Mr. Arvin have spoken, I'll just make a short statement. I've spoken to Mr. Downing's ability or worthiness as a planning commissioner in the past, and the Assembly voted about 2 years ago to not to confirm Mr. Downing, and for reasons that I stated at that time. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you take the vote is up or down on Mr. Tall Tower Downing?
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, point of order. What is the question? Is it
that's a good point. The point, the motion is to remove Mr. Downing. Yeah.
Then mine is a no. Mr.
Okay.
Downing stays.
Okay, thank you. Is that right, Madam Clerk?
You are correct, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor. Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Keough in support.
I'd like to move
the question on the consent agenda, sir.
Okay, there's been a motion to close debate on the consent agenda. Is there objection on the consent on the vacancy report? Is there objection to closing debate? There's no objection. So before us is the vacancy report. It's now not debatable. So is there objection?
Objection.
Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, and thank you for Joan Medbury and John Gunhall up in Willow, Capri.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay, we are now to a reconsideration. Yeah, Madam Clerk, do you want to read it?
Resolution Sarah number 139, a resolution establishing a temporary commission to review and recommend MSB energy policy and potential charges, changes or repeal of MSB 8.32.
So the first vote is going to be on whether to reconsider. Is that met right?
Somebody has to move it.
Right. Assemblymember Keough, would you move to reconsider?
I move to reconsider resolution serial number 13-009.
Okay. You want to speak to it?
Sure. I've stated the reasons in my written reconsideration statement to the clerk. It speaks for itself.
Okay. Hey, that's the way I like to communicate. So I imagine there's going to be objection. So Madam Clerk, would you take the vote? Yes, reconsiders it. No, leaves it.
Yep.
Assemblymember Halter.
Could you have the clerk refresh my memory on the original vote? How many in favor?
It was unanimous.
It was unanimous?
Yes.
Was it?
It was unanimous.
How did I vote?
That means you voted yes.
Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culver.
Point of order, what was the member's reason to bring this back to us?
I can reiterate those.
He's reading it. Was that no?
No.
Okay.
Assemblymember Culligan?
No.
Assemblymember Woods?
No.
Assemblymember Halter? Assemblymember Keough?
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon?
No.
Assemblymember Arvin?
No.
Mr. Mayor, the reconsideration failed with Assemblymember Keough in support.
Okay, so does that give me another chance to veto it? I'm not going to, but I'm curious. After it's been through the process again.
Well, Mr. Mayor, off the top of my head right now, the main motion was not reconsidered, so it didn't put it back on the floor.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You're right. You're a good clerk. Okay. Just because we extended the meeting to midnight doesn't mean we have to stay here till midnight. So we're now ready for comments. Mr. Attorney, have you got any additional light?
No.
Mr. Manager?
Thank you. No comment.
Madam Clerk?
I don't have anything, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Colbert?
I'm going to bring forward a resolution for the Assembly to consider to procure director management to go out for an RFP for a budget analyst to provide the Assembly with support as we wade through the budget, and that'll be up next time. Similar to what the Anchorage Assembly has, a person that helps them wade through the budget. And 2 years ago worked out really good. Last year didn't work out so good. So hopefully we'll get back on track with that. The Assembly also may want to consider a resolution in support of some or any of the gas line options out there, the Bullet Line or the Valdez Line, or maybe it looks like both. So we probably ought to go on record where we stand on that, on those projects, and get that to the legislature. And tonight it looked like we're kind of all having to jump off our own ferry cliff instead of the fiscal cliff. So hopefully we won't have to do that much longer. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, we'll bring the gas line legislation up with everything else next time. Assemblymember Culligan. Assemblymember Woods.
I guess I made a big boo-boo, but I was really surprised that I'm now professionally recognized as a politician. I got my name on the headlines above the fold of the paper, and they spelled my name correctly, so... you know, what more can a politician ask for? I really was amazed at the determination that I had some part in this, since Mr. Sorensen has the property, he owns it, has discretion to do as he pleases with it, and since my kids really were benefited by excellent school education and a lot by their mother too, since she was a school teacher and graduated from an excellent university, helped them out a little bit, but the thinking on my part where I made the error was that since Mr. Sorensen could do as he pleased with the property and the Woods Family Trust, no matter what he did, would be... taken his money owed to the trust, if any, would be applied regardless of any action by I just thought that that's property was so excellent for school and right now and potential uses that it deserves some recognition. So anyway, thank everybody for their support, and it taught me a lesson. Appreciate it.
And thank you. I appreciate you, the way you handled it. Assemblymember Solomon.
Just a couple things. Mr. Woods can't speak for himself, but I will speak for him. I have never met a man with more integrity and greater ethics in my life than Noel Woods. And it incenses me that his name should be besmirched over some wild accusation of those who have no idea how we got from where we were to where we are today, and that they would print that in the paper indicting him as guilty before being tried before his peers. And there's no greater sentence than to be exposed before your peers, and I think Mr. Woods will stand up to anyone's scrutiny at any point in time before tomorrow and forever. So that's my personal view. I'm pretty upset about it, upset with the local media, upset with those that spoke as though he'd done something wrong, pretty clear. So that's all being said. Now to get on to some other sad issues, a gentleman named Dan Ducey died this week, and Dan was a quadriplegic, and he never let that get him down for a moment. He was a continual, perpetual contributor to his community. I served on boards with him, and I watched him as people mentioned my own recovery with some awe, etc. Mr. Ducey made me pale in comparison in relationship to his willingness to continue to contribute and be part of life until the very end, and I will sadly miss him. And then secondly, Assemblymember Mary Kovalheim, another grand lady of the Mat-Su Valley, a longtime contributor. We lost her also this week, and so I'm saddened that they are gone, and I will pray for their families. Thank you.
Assemblymember Keel.
I usually have no comment at the Assemblymember's remarks at the end of the meeting, but I will speak to one, and that regards the Mat-Su Borough 8.32 Review Commission. I did, in my effort to understand where the impetus comes from to have this commission, which I think is unneeded, I did query MEA, NSTAR, and the Alaska Energy Authority, and ask them all what their position was on the current code regarding the regulation of power plants and electric generation facilities. Do those individual entities desire a commission to be established? And in the past year, have any of them made requests to the borough manager, mayor, assembly members to modify or repeal the existing code regarding power plants? Their answers were just a little bit different, but uniformly, no, none of them has a position or any comment on the ordinance. There's been no suggestion that they take a position on the ordinance, or they have no comment. And none of them has made any request to change the code in the last year. So, again, I just reiterate my comment that I think this is simply an effort to establish a commission to repeal the existing code 8.32. And finally, I'd just like to reiterate Darcy Salmon's comments regarding the passing of Mary Qualheim, who's a longtime assemblyman and a very civic-minded woman her entire life. And I'd like to know when the services are. If there's any announcement forthcoming, please let us know.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter. Okay. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So I reserved my comments regarding the motorized Jim Creek master plan, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I guess it's just kind of eating on me because some of the comments that were made were just really off target. And I did appreciate Mr. Keel verbalizing that from both sides of, you know, individuals with positions that are very different on that acted in less than presidential manner while trying to convey their feelings on what the plan should be, whether it be non-motorized or motorized. But I guess I'm really missing something, because I thought that we were trying to bring some balance to the use of borough lands by the public and trying to put a bit of a box or a fence around different public lands that are designated for specific uses and multi-uses within specific designated areas. And what happened at Jim Creek actually is vastly different than what happened at Government Peak, but similar in the context that we have real estate that calls out certain uses on it to try to minimize conflicts between different user groups. And I, early on, was opposed to non-motorized at Hatcher Pass. I listened to the arguments, and although some of them were off-color, to include, we don't want to smell ya, we don't want to hear ya, we don't even want to see ya. And that's pretty bold, and, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But on the Jim Creek plan, we were purposeful in the way that rolled out, the public process that ensued, and the plan that ultimately is developed to ensure that multi-use was preserved. And I might add that although Mr. Keel said himself earlier that I'm still trying to figure out when it happened, that he was the godfather of the master plan coming forward, codifying motorized was my attempt to ensure that over time it didn't get eroded. The use of the land wasn't eroded by other user groups. Because we've seen, I think, a number of occasions where the process gets hijacked by certain user groups, and those that support non-motorized are arguing that the Jim Creek master plan was hijacked by the motorized users. But I just want to remind everybody that did not happen, irrespective of what some people might be thinking. A couple other comments that I found interesting, and I guess this really comes back to a not in my backyard, or I got mine and I don't care if you get yours philosophy. And that is, you know, we heard testimony tonight that inviting people here, this is a quote, inviting people here is bad for the Butte and the greater Mat-Su borough. And I'm just puzzled on how somebody can say that. And unless they are just protectionist-minded, where they don't want people from the outside, whoever that may be. Maybe they don't want people from Wasilla coming to the Butte. Maybe they don't want people from Anchorage coming to the Butte. But I think that there are a lot of people in the Butte, I'm sure, rather, that welcome other human beings to come and play in their backyard for a whole bunch of different reasons. So I just think that some of it was, you know, the liability is ridiculous, really. So do we need to implement a liability protocol for Hatcher Pass in case a skier breaks his or her leg? Is that where we're going with all of this? Because it's a bad idea to have motorized access to Jim Creek, because somebody might get hurt and that might somehow be the borough's responsibility. Oh, by golly, then we should not do it. There are just some very weak arguments, and it has everything to do with, I believe, not in my backyard, and I've got mine. I don't care if you want yours. So I was fairly disappointed at the testimony tonight in opposition to the plan. I am glad that those that came out in support of it did. And the wild, wild west does exist in the Mat-Su borough, and I think that's what makes our borough unique. With that, I'll close my comments. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin, I guess I'm up next. Another one that we lost last week was Mr. Glenn Massey, our former chancellor of the college out there. So last night at this time, I was at the service for Dan Doozy, and really large service, and delivered a proclamation. This month is Dan Doozy Volunteer Month in the borough, so I delivered that news, and I came away with a quote from him that I think would be good for us. He told some young man, he said, I expect you to deliver 100%. He says, I've given 100% of what I'm capable of, and that's all any of us are asked of. And he was certainly a man that did that. In fact, he outdid a lot of people that were capable of a lot more. With that, that's the end of my comments, and if there's no objection, we will adjourn.